about.
So easy. You gotta put it in perspective.
Are you ready, kids?
Aye, aye, Captain.
Make them fear you.
Aye, aye, Captain.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Mel Gibson, come on.
No, come on. I'm not going to have a go at him. He's been through a lot. Not as much as the Jews.
You're a pain in the ass! You're a pain in my ass! Stop being that!
Recognize!
You need to go to Riddlewheel!
With all three major kinds of retardation.
I have never been more ready in my entire life to do this right now.
Because that's what champions do.
And now...
Hey, Lisa, I heard you lied and said we didn't do it. Admit it, we doinked.
Our feature presentation.
Really doinked? That's strong.
You can kill that music now, Michael. Thank you.
Done.
You have missed an exciting few minutes, Kevin.
Is that right?
Oh, my God. When Kevin shows up 18 seconds before the show, he has no idea. We joke about how you have to rebuild the studio after the weekend.
Yeah, it is odd that everything seems to be not only just not the way we left it, but completely rewired for some reason.
Worse than rewired. We came in today. Listen to this. The I guess they're called mouses. They're not actually called mice for whatever reason, but the little mouse that you use for your computer... One of them was, the cord was cut in half.
How does that happen?
How does that happen? Like, under what circumstances would you ever need to cut a mouse free from its computer?
Switchblade. That's just going to be my guess.
I think it's an excellent guess.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm guessing someone got mad.
Everything that Lisa May uses for her little dog and pony traffic show over here, completely disconnected, as if they were had disconnected the computer and the keyboard and the mouse to move it out of here or something. I don't know what they were doing. All of my cords missing, just not even here.
Yeah, it's odd.
It's bizarre.
It's almost as if somebody came in and said, how can I sabotage everyone that's coming in on the morning show? And you know, it's not the case. So then how does it happen?
I know. And if it weren't for Omar crawling around and Psycho Mike with his ingenuity and creativity, we'd never get on the air.
You have ingenuity and creativity?
He does. He did a good job. All right, we're going to take your telephone calls for the Tuesday edition of Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew, 1-800-520-1067. That's the number you can call now to get on the air. You know how you look at a newspaper headline, you go, well, is that an article I'm going to waste my time reading? Mm-hmm. Is there enough in the headline to make me go forward and read paragraph one?
Most of the time, the answer for me is no.
All right, I'm going to throw this headline out because this is an article I think you may enjoy, but I'm not sure. Tell me if this is too boring, if this is too dull for you. Man's penis freed from metal pipe with industrial grinder.
I'm in.
Oh, God.
How's that sound for a story?
It does sound interesting.
It's been a long time since we've done things you got your penis stuck in.
penis injuries, we've done a lot.
Right.
I don't know about stuck in.
Things you've got your penis stuck in. Like, remember when Mike was engaged to that couch that summer?
Well, that's right. Yeah.
This is from Britain. Medics at Southampton General Hospital struggled to get a man's penis out of a stainless steel pipe because the restricted blood flow had caused it to become erect, meaning it swelled up and then got stuck in the pipe.
Why was it in the pipe?
Well, what do you think?
That's the question.
They called the Hampshire Fire and Rescue Service. Fire crew turned up with special equipment unit from St. Mary's Station in Southampton and took 7 firefighters in what spokesman understatedly described as a delicate operation. The firefighters used a 4.5-inch industrial metal grinder to cut the pipe from around the anesthetized man's penis.
Oh, man. Can you imagine having that right there?
Imagine the panic. And they show a picture here of the angle grinder, the machine that they use with all the sparks flying around and everything. And that's got to be right down there by your junk when they're cutting the pipe around, right?
Please be careful. Please be careful. Please be careful.
The penis was left bruised and swollen, but otherwise unharmed by this traumatic day. The man, here's my favorite line in the whole article. The man, thought to be aged around 40, did not explain to hospital staff how exactly the pipe got stuck around the penis.
Well, it's too embarrassing. I don't want to say. I'd rather not.
But
say.
In that case, and I assume he's at work, in that case, if your junk is stuck in a pipe, there is no cover-up story that you can create.
Dude, you fell.
Into the pipe.
Into the pipe, and your pants fell off while you were falling?
Yes. Your pants fell off, and the pipe was erect, and then you fell into it. That happens.
I don't know that anyone's going to buy that.
That happens.
Finally, Hampshire Fire and Rescue Service spokesman said it was a delicate operation that required a very steady hand. The crew was worried about things getting too hot during the cutting. It was certainly an unusual call out, and I'm sure the man won't be getting into that situation again.
What does that do? Did that blow your mind?
That just happened.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
That is pretty awesome. So don't do that.
So you're saying that's a negative?
I'm saying don't do that.
All right, we're going to take your calls. 1-800-520-1067. That's the number for Kevin Amin's What It Do Nephew in just a minute. I don't know if you guys had time to hear the... I listened to the Internet Roundup Megamix about four times this weekend.
It's so good.
That Omar did.
Yeah.
It's so good. And I went through and tried to put video to it. That's difficult.
It is.
Well, yeah.
It doesn't all have video, does it?
No.
But there's still pictures of Mel Gibson or whoever you choose to use, right?
Yes. But then it looks dumb. And then so I spent a lot of time and I lined it all up. And then I just erased it all. I'm just like, oh.
So you gave up?
I couldn't do it.
2 days of my Labor Day weekend right there.
I was so excited because, you know, the Winnebago Man, that's easy.
Right.
You put the Winnebago Man in. But then you got Antoine. That's great. Because he, you know, he's very animated.
Yes.
And by animated, I mean gay, right? And about four or five of them have great video. And then there's the rest. And there's all the Mel Gibson. And there's no Mel Gibson on the other end of the phone except for in movies and stuff like that. So I spent a lot of time working on it, though. And then...
Well, thanks, Kevin.
And then,
thanks for doing that.
And then I failed, so I said, oh, okay.
Thanks for quitting.
Yeah, and I almost climbed out Mount Everest this weekend, but then didn't. So I put a bunch of time into something that failed also. So I should get some credit for that, right?
Yay, just Bean.
Way to go, Bean, for trying to climb Mount Everest with one leg. All right, we'll take your calls, 1-800-520-1067.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or a 1.
You know, phones aren't working either, so.
Oh, really? Everything
Mike,
is failing.
Can you rewire the phones? You're handy and, what'd you call them? Handy and?
Ingenious.
Creative? Ingenious?
Ingenious, right.
Honestly, we can reset them, but it's not going to fix Help. It in an immediate yeah. sense.
All right. Good times.
Okay.
Good times.
Sad.
Let's talk about today's show.
Okay.
Well, all good things must come to an end, and that's all for this week.
How was your traveling, Bean? Bean's in the studio today.
It was fine. It was uneventful, which is the best you can hope for out of an airplane trip, is if it's uneventful.
Did it leave on time?
It did.
Remember on time. When planes left on time 95% of the time?
I remember when you could walk into the airport an hour before you left. Maybe
those are the good old days.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was fine.
Yeah. But these days, if you take a flight, you have to pad it with 2 or 3 hours of waiting, you know, sometimes on the runway, sometimes in the airport.
Right.
And that's just the way it goes. Yeah. All right. Uneventful is what you want. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Did that already.
Okay. We have the Pitbull of comedy, Bobby Slayton.
Oh, there you go.
In the studio.
You can take a break.
In the studio with Bean.
Yeah, I haven't seen Bobby in a while.
How long has it been?
Vegas, right? When we saw the show?
He didn't go. Did you go to
the
show?
No.
He didn't go to the show in Vegas.
All right, so that's going to go well. Yeah, I was there but didn't go.
He's going to complain. Irrational fears today. You're afraid of things that most people aren't.
Metal pipes.
Well,
I'm afraid of metal pipes.
You should be.
Because I saw what it did to that guy's penis. Jumped out and attacked him. He was just walking by.
There's a woman in the news who hated bananas so much. She was afraid of them so much that she had to put on rubber gloves.
I think she has daddy issues.
To handle them. That's possible. It's
banana
possible.
Is interesting.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah. It's but anyway, she's deathly afraid of bananas. Now, you would look at that and you go, how did any, other than daddy issues, how did anybody ever become afraid of bananas?
Maybe she was attacked by monkeys as a child.
Probably not.
But monkeys eat bananas. She would be afraid of monkeys.
Well, I'm just saying, maybe the banana was somehow involved in the horrible accident. I don't know. Right? Maybe we'll find out more.
All right. Dr. Stephen Hawking says there is no God.
Yeah, he should know.
He finally just came out and said, you know what, people? No God.
Well, he's the smartest man in the world. We go to him for questions like that.
And a lot of people seem to be upset. A lot of people that are much less smart than him seem to be upset with him. TMZ, we're going to talk to Harvey Levin today.
Yeah.
Harvey Levin, who actually ended up on his own site this weekend as a celebrity in trouble with the law.
I didn't know that.
He got a ticket.
We'll find out. We'll talk to him in less than an hour.
That's the best.
Wow. Some kind of shootout?
I just love that there was a camera following Harvey around.
Can he officially tell them to stop following him?
I don't know. We have to ask all of these questions.
Even if they're from other sites, you would think Harvey was... He's the king of that world, right? So he could just tell somebody to stop. We have an internet roundup, brand new one.
Okay.
And this one features people who walk into glass doors. And I got to tell you, I could watch that all day long. you know, they
Hasn't everyone done it once? I did.
Many times.
Yeah.
Many times.
It's stunning.
It looks like the door's open. There's no, you know, there's no door there, but it's glass, so you can't see it. And you just walk into it, and the beautiful thing is you don't see it first. You feel it first.
Yes.
And when you feel it first, that's pain.
As you fall down to the ground.
So we have a bunch of those. We have an instant request today. We have a huge announcement about a huge band. Can we, you know, we can't tease it, can we?
I think we can. I think we can say that it involves the band Muse. I think we can say that much.
It involves, I can't say anything, but it involves the band Muse.
Wow, you guys are so oblique.
Thank you. So that's coming up in the 7 o'clock hour as well. We will take a quick break and come back with the Showbiz Beat.
Tuesday on the Kevin and Bean Show, time for our first look at the Showbiz Beat. Ralph Garman joins us. Hey, Ralph, how was your weekend, man?
It was good.
Anything exciting? Anything fun?
Nope. Not really. Just relaxed.
Just taking care of that little baby that does nothing but cry and poop?
I don't know who you're talking about. I have a baby? Someone should have told me. This is, oh.
Bad surprise?
Ridiculous. We got to get a better staff. I should be informed of things like that.
Just put out a bowl of water and leave for the weekend.
Let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend, Labor Day weekend. Traditionally, sort of a lackluster weekend for the movies. Not a lot of people spending time in theaters, and looks to be that way again this weekend. Although The American was number one and only made $16.4 million in its debut weekend, which just nosed up Machete.
Oh, really? Not good.
Which came in at $14 million in its debut weekend.
Shows the power of George Clooney, by the way, because I guess he did zero press for it.
Yeah.
No publicity at all.
This movie was a sleeper.
It was a sleeper. It didn't suffer from moving too fast.
You saw it?
Yeah.
Well, it's not your kind of
film. I heard the same.
It didn't fly through the storyline. You didn't think, wow, I can't keep up.
People are comparing it to it's got a foreign film feel to it, really. Not a slapdash, big bang, American sort of action film.
If you like to watch a guy walking, for example, this is your film? Movie.
Now, did you see Machete also? Because that seems way more you. Okay.
Machete.
I saw that one first, yeah.
Machete.
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 Machete. Dacres was third at the box office, then The Last Exorcism. Going the Distance, the new Drew Barrymore romantic comedy, came in at number five with $8.6 million. Then The Expendables, The Other Guys, Eat, Pray, Love, Inception, and Nanny McPhee Returns, rounding out your top ten at the box office this weekend. Former Guns N' Roses bassist Duff McKagan has now quit Jane's Addiction. He joined that group 5 months ago. He's played a few concerts, helped write some material for the first new Jane's album in 7 years. But yesterday he released a statement saying he had different musical ideas from the rest of the group and decided to leave. Jane's frontman Perry Farrell tweeted that Duff will release a new album with his solo band Loaded and tour this fall. So apparently no hard feelings, but they have gone their separate ways.
Mm.
Perry's crazy, right?
He is, but he seems like he's good crazy. Is that possible?
Sure.
Yeah.
Like he's not evil crazy, but he is crazy. Young words.
Well, we knew it would happen. I don't know if you follow the comic stylings of this couple, the Salahis. This is the couple that snuck into that White House Correspondents' Dinner, remember, famously, and she wanted to be on The Real Housewives of Washington, D.C.
Isn't she on it?
And she got her wish. She is on that show, and she is a nightmare, and he is just as bad as she is. And apparently they've burned through a lot of cash, and now looks like Michaela Salahi has accepted an offer from Playboy magazine to pose nude for that magazine.
No! Barf!
Do we want to see that?
Well, she's an attractive woman for 44 years old.
I hate to see her get anything she wants.
Yeah, me too, Lisa.
I do.
I have passionate feelings about her.
She is. She's a bad person.
Well, she's going to be in Playboy.
She's the one, by the way, who went on The View, remembered, and then would not stop talking about how she was assaulted by Whoopi Goldberg and she was going to sue.
Yeah.
And everybody showed the tape and Whoopi came up and just basically very, very... Just put her tips of her fingers on Salahi's shoulder.
Uh-huh.
That was the assault.
Well, who is she to put tips of fingers on?
It was just the woman is just crazy.
I don't understand
She's
the question.
Such that a fame hungry whore.
That is brutal. I've had tips of fingers, and it is horrific. And I don't blame her for being upset. You ever wonder how actors, male actors in specific, keep things under control while they're filming love or sex scenes?
No,
yes, I do.
Barf!
Well, I guess there are different techniques, and Stephen Moyer, star of True Blood, says when he's on the set and things are getting hot and heavy, usually with his wife, by the way, his now wife, and a pack. When his tried and true trick is to envision Margaret Thatcher playing a naked game of ping pong. That would work, don't you think?
Yeah, definitely.
I do, too. I think he was being facetious, but still, there's an image I'll never get out of my head.
Yeah, there's a lot of nudity in that show.
There is. They like sex, vampires, turns out.
Yes, they do.
Except in Twilight.
Yeah, not in Twilight so much.
Not so much.
That's love.
They're Mormon vampires.
That's love, man.
Speaking of which, Michael Trevino plays a werewolf on The Vampire Diaries, and he was asked recently by Star Magazine whether his werewolf could kick Taylor Lautner's werewolf from the Twilight series. A werewolf off.
Did he come back with, that's the dumbest question that's ever been asked?
No, he did not.
Okay.
He said, Taylor Lautner's a little kid. He's a sweet little boy, but he's not at all threatening to the powers that are werewolf from Vampire Diaries. Ah! He added.
Easy, CW actor.
And Chris Klein.
Yeah.
Talented actor. Funny guy. American Pie. Election. Remember how good he was in Election?
I loved Election.
He is going to have to serve 4 days in jail and take an 18-month alcohol education class after being sentenced in his DUI case. He pleaded no contest to charges stemming from his drunken driving arrest in June, and by all accounts, he's getting off pretty easily. 4 days.
That's better than most.
Yeah. Usually you get a couple weeks, but he won't because he's Chris Klein. Jennifer Grey is going to be on Dancing with the Stars. She, of course, was in Dirty Dancing. So she wanted to make sure she was in tip-top shape before she started competing, because apparently, by all accounts, whatever you think of that show, it's a grueling...
Yeah.
8 weeks or whatever they go through. It's a lot of training and a lot of dancing, and even professional athletes have said, this is a lot of hard work.
I guess the regular schedule for those competitors is 6 hours a day of training.
Yeah.
It's many days a week.
So she goes to the doctor to make sure everything's fine, and turns out that she has all kinds of problems.
Uh-oh.
She had an ache in her neck, and the doctors looked at it, and turned out that her spinal cord was compressed.
Okay.
So she had to have an operation for that. And then they found a lump on her neck that was a cancerous tumor.
Dude, wow.
You're
dude.
That they had to remove. So after two operations, she says now she's got a clean bill of health and is looking forward to competing. But that's what I say, people. Don't go to the doctors.
Doctors are bad for you,
right? You don't need to know.
They will find stuff.
Yeah.
Do not go there.
I'm going to suggest there's a Dirty Dancing curse now. If you look what happened to Patrick Swayze and now Jennifer Grey right behind him, look out.
Yeah. What was that?
Does time
40,
have any...
40 years ago when they made that movie?
There's nothing linear about being...
In 40 years, bad will befall you. That's what the curse
you
was.
You could die.
That was a bit of a stretch.
I'm just saying, both of them in the same year, practically.
I'm saying Dancing with the Stars saved her life.
Well, that is true. I can't argue with that at this point.
And Kevin's going to be happy because I know how much he loves the Bourne films.
I do.
CBS is apparently announcing a spy drama they're working on based on the Treadstone Corporation. That's the name of the secret organization in Bourne that... Yes. Is the cover for the spies in that TV in that movie series?
Right,
and apparently they're going to do a TV series based on that corporation. So you'll get a bunch of spies every week, Kevin.
So the American moves with Bourne-like speed. Is that what you're suggesting, Kevin?
It's more of a saunter than speed. It's more of the sachet. It's very slow.
Lots of today's celebrity birthdays. Tom Everett Scott, one of my favorite actors from That Thing You Do, and from. Southland. When the hell is Southland coming back on TNT?
That's a good question.
Love that cop show. He's 40 years old today. Model actress Angie Everhart turns 41. Actor Michael Emerson from Lost is 56 years old today. Actor Corbin Burnson is also 56. Chrissy Hynde of The Pretenders is 59 years old today. Sugar Shane Mosley, who did so well up against Floyd Mayweather last year. Oh, no, wait a minute. Hmm. He got embarrassed. He's 39 years old. Shannon Elizabeth, speaking of American Pie, she's 37. Actress Evan Rachel Wood celebrates her 23rd birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Tell you what it is, Kevin. These Hollywood celebrities, man, they do whatever they want. They flaunt the law. They think they're better than everybody. They think the rules don't apply to them. They think they're the exception. I'm talking about Harvey Levin, TMZ.com. I'm talking about seeing his smiling mug on his own website over the weekend getting a ticket. Harvey, what happened?
Okay. So I have breaking news for you.
Oprah is going to be very upset with
yes,
you.
Yes, she is. Did you take the pledge?
Not. No, she's not.
You weren't texting?
I was not texting.
And it wasn't Paris Hilton's purse.
It was not my fingers.
She thought it was gum. What?
It was not my fingers.
Wait, what?
No. I'm kidding. I mean, this is hilarious. This is unbelievable. Are you ready for this?
We're ready. Let's hear it.
So the cop does pull me over.
Right.
And he was in none too good mood and said, you were texting, get your license out.
Right.
I was making a phone call, for sure. I mean, I was actually looking at a phone number and trying to dial it. I was doing that, for sure. I copped to it. I assumed that you weren't allowed to do that.
Right.
I just assumed it. I mean, I figured that's what the law says, that you're not allowed to do any of that. And I thought, well, you know what? I screwed up. So I get in this morning, and I look at the law. Because the ticket does say driving while texting, and I assume that that was covered. So it says you're not allowed to text, but then it says, for the purpose of this section, this law, you are not deemed to be writing or reading a text message if you are reading, selecting, or entering a telephone number. Well, what I was doing was I was looking for a phone number and dialing it, and then it says, and basically, and it says, for the purpose of making or receiving a phone call.
So in other words, you're allowed to select a number because it's still legal to talk on the phone while you're driving as long as you have a headset.
Right. And I assumed that if you were looking at anything, you know, a number even, that would constitute texting.
You know why you assume that? Because that's the way it should read.
It should.
There's no difference between that and texting.
Okay, but wait a minute. So let me just finish. So when I'm sitting there waiting as the guy's writing me up, I texted the person who I was calling, because she said that she was actually in Atlantic City. She said, I'm only going to be there until 2 o'clock, and the traffic was so bad, I was going to call her and say, look, I'm not going to be able to call you until I get home. But I literally texted her, I just got a traffic ticket calling you. Call me in 5. So I was sitting there. I mean, I was making a phone call.
Yeah, how about that?
And I'm looking at this law, and the law says you're allowed to make a phone call and even read a phone number.
So what are you going to do? What's the next step? Will you go to court and fight it?
You know what? Here's the thing. On a level, I agree with you. I think that, you know, it really, it, you know, it made me think, you know what, it's true.
It and should have that covered.
Yeah, that's as dangerous.
It should. And that's what I was thinking about, and I thought, the law technically doesn't apply here, but it really should.
Right, gotcha. So, Harvey, here's the bigger question. Who was there to take your photograph while you were getting a ticket from the police officer?
Dude,
how did that happen?
Dude, let me explain to you. This was bumper to bumper. Traffic was not going anywhere in either direction.
Right.
Not only did somebody take the picture, but there was two guys jumped out of their car, and the cars weren't moving. So afterwards, these two guys come up with a camera, and they just point it in my face, and they say, okay, so what happened? What did you get the picture?
That's awesome. Those two guys did the right thing.
And I'm just, like, sitting there. The traffic is going nowhere, and I'm just...
You can't move. Did you give him an interview?
You know, I looked at him and I said, you know, you probably shouldn't be in the street. It's kind of dangerous. And then they said to me, you going to buy this video?
So did they email the photos to TMZ.com so they could put it up?
No, some girl who apparently was standing there emailed it to, you know, put it on her Facebook, and we saw it, and we said,
hey. Oh, that's hilarious.
It's so funny. You have to be so careful because there are everyone on the streets. If you do anything publicly wrong, you'll get documented.
I love that. We're talking to Harvey Levin, TMZ.com. By the way, the entertainment website of record, now shown the TMZ television show. Check this out, folks. 6 times a day in some markets across this country, including Los Angeles, California. 6 times a day,
wow.
TMZ television. The show is not that good, Harvey.
No, I know. I cannot believe they did that. It's like, you know, I should have like a production line of chocolates and start eating chocolates because they're running it as much as I Love Lucy.
Seriously, 4 a.m., 10:30 a.m., 12:30 p.m., 6 p.m., and 11 p.m. on Fox, and then on Channel 11 in Los Angeles, and then Channel 13 has it at 11:30 Monday through Friday, too. That's crazy. Hey, real quick before you go, Harvey, because I know you got a meeting to get to.
A meeting for the beginning of season 4.
Yeah, how about that? Congratulations.
And people on the website chose the cup for this season.
Okay, that's the other thing.
That's point two.
What's your problem?
There were 15 cups to vote on.
Here's our problem. It's a cup.
Who cares what cup you drink on the TV show, Harvey?
There are a couple hundred thousand votes.
I know, but why?
Well, they need to do something else.
I don't.
Why did you even put that up there?
Because it's a low-budget show.
Yeah.
We got nothing else going for it.
Oh, my God.
Are you also putting up a poll about two girls?
No, just the cup. No. Just the cup. Harvey, is the most asked question you get what's in the cup?
Yes.
Everyone asks.
Answer it?
Yes.
It's water, right?
I'm not saying.
It's coffee.
You just said yes.
You answer it.
No, but wait a minute. I mean, if you're going to trash me for it and say it doesn't matter, then I'm not going to tell
It's a chocolate milkshake.
No.
No,
you said you don't care.
We don't care which cup you drink out of.
We don't care until you refuse to answer.
But once you refuse to answer, then we go, hey, what's really in it then?
Yeah. Right. No, but here's the thing. After this weekend, I'm used to exercising my Miranda rights.
Oh, exactly. Nice. All right. Are you going to get an interview with that guy that got pulled over and got a false ticket for texting?
I'm going to just say it's vodka. That's what I'm just going to tell. Everybody's going to ask me. I'm going to just say it's vodka. All right, Harvey. Congratulations on season 4.
Thanks, guys.
And the great work you're doing over there at TMZ.com. We'll talk to you again soon.
Bye, guys.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q.
Hey.
Yes. And it's 641.
Hey.
Yes.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. Brand new internet roundup plus details on how you can get up close and personal with the band Muse coming up. I'm not a smart guy. I'm interested in science and particularly astronomy, but there are two big questions I have never been able to wrap my little mortal human brain about. One is, how can the universe go on forever? How can it just keep expanding forever and not end? I don't understand how that.
How do you know that that's the case, is it?
That's what they say. Okay. That's what they tell us. Everything I know is what they tell us.
Right.
And two is, how did it all get started?
That's a good question.
What happened at the very beginning? Well, the smartest man in the world, physicist Stephen Hawking, has a theory on how it did not get started. It's been in the news a lot lately. Listen up.
68-year-old Stephen Hawking, physicist, father, philosopher. Body so disabled by ALS he has the control of only one muscle. Hawking has said he believes in the creative majesty of scientific law, not a personal god for humans.
When you look at the vast size of the universe and how insignificant and accidental human life is in it, that seems most implausible.
Dr. Hawking joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Doc.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean.
My first question is, which is the one muscle that works?
Come over here and I'll show you.
That's what we were afraid of. That. You are very popular with the ladies. We do know that.
I'll make you my robot bitch.
That's what I'm afraid of. So, Dr. Hawking, you say because there is gravity, the universe can and will create itself from nothing. In layman's terms, could you explain to me how that is possible?
Gravity is just an example of how the universe creates something from nothing. And so spontaneous creation is not only possible, but provable. And so there is no scientific proof to believe that one grand architect constructed the entire universe.
Okay, but just because we can't prove that God started it doesn't mean that he didn't. It just means that we can't prove it, right?
Wrong.
Okay.
All right. Sounded like it made sense to me.
There is no God. There is proof everywhere. I am a man of science.
Right.
And the scientific proof is irrefutable.
Okay, there are lots of scientists, though, who will also consider themselves Christians and say that faith and science are two different things.
They are dumb.
Well,
they
you would know.
So dumb, for real.
All right, so everything that happens that seems mysterious and perhaps is being touched by the hand of God can have an explanation in science. That's your theory.
There is more proof that there is no God than that there is a God.
Like what? What kind of proof are you talking about?
I am mute, where Tyra Banks can speak.
That's a
good point. Well, that doesn't seem right.
I cannot argue that.
There is no God.
That is one for no God, yes.
Russell Brand has sex with Katy Perry all the time.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
There is no God.
No God. No, you're right about that, too.
The Situation is making $5 million this year.
No
Mother
God.
Teresa died in poverty.
Yeah.
That's true.
No God.
No God. You're right about that, too.
Baseball has 162 games, whereas football only 16.
Right. That's
no God.
Okay. All right.
Scott Stapp continues to have a musical career.
Right.
No God.
No God. No, not where there's creed. There can't be God.
John Lennon is dead while Yoko lives.
Yeah, well
that's true.
Dang, he's got some
come
great.
On.
No, that doesn't seem right either. Ralph Garman is here with another look at the show Biz Beat on a Tuesday Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on, Argar?
A lot of folks axing how they can hear the Smodcast with myself and Kevin Smith, Hollywood Babble On, that we did on Friday night. And just want you to know, it is currently up now at iTunes. and smodcast.com if you want to take a listen.
Is it boring or is it worth checking out?
For you, it'd be boring. For everyone else, it'd be very entertaining and funny. So I recommend it highly because
Bean would stop
best
it.
Best ever.
Bean would stop it all the time
and talk
comment.
Back to it and try to interrupt it while we're going. It'd be so frustrating for him that we would not be thrown off by what he was saying. But it's the best one yet by far. And I think Kevin and Bean listeners especially will get a kick out of it because there's some funny stories.
So Kevin and Ralph is the new Kevin and Bean.
God, I hope not.
Kevin and Bean is old and busted. Kevin and Ralph is new and shiny.
We're shooting higher than that.
Oh, I see.
We don't want to be the new Kevin and Bean because then, you know, then what do we got?
I agree with you 100%.
Thank you. Strange person. I don't know. This is interesting. You know, they keep making these Broadway musicals based around the music of popular groups.
Shut up, Lisa.
Right.
And the newest one, apparently, is going to be the Spice Girls. Music of the Spice Girls.
Well, you like the Spice Girls.
I do, but I just like to touch myself and look at them more so than listen.
Do they
them.
Have that many songs?
I didn't think so, but apparently 14 Spice Girls songs will be in the musical called Viva Forever.
Bean, you know that kind of meaningless BS. They have 14 hits.
They have enough hits for a musical, for a jukebox musical, sure.
14 hits?
Yeah, I mean,
13 Spice of those will be Tell Me What You Want, which you really, really want.
Look, anyone who's going to go see a Spice Girls musical knows their songs.
Yeah, I guess so.
I suppose. Apparently the premise, the book, as they say, of the musical is about a TV talent show competition and all the nasty stuff that goes on behind the scenes, all the girls fighting amongst each other and stuff. So, catfight.
Yeah. All right.
Now, this is odd. Musicals based on popular music groups. Okay. Right. How often do you get a popular music group covering a song from a Broadway musical? Huh? Answer me that question. Huh?
Not aware of any.
No.
Panic at the Disco.
Woo!
Has just covered a tune from the musical Little Shop of Horrors.
Okay.
They do a song called Skid Row, which opens the show, and if you saw the film, opens that as well. And apparently, that's their new single.
I have a hook of that, if you'd like to hear.
Sure.
A little bit of the new Panic at the Disco.
Sure.
Now someone see my vagina.
That's not.
I don't really remember that in the Broadway show.
No, yeah,
but
that's how it opens.
Okay.
I have a clip of the actual song.
Oh,
yes.
You do.
With our fingers, we make million holes. We run and we fall into potholes.
Wow, that is terrible.
I can't say F. Bjork enough, really. I hope you play that every day because people need to know what a sham she is.
She fell into potholes, Ralph.
She is horrible.
She rhymes holes with holes in those two lines we just heard.
She, if there is such a thing as spontaneous combustion, she should burst into flames.
That's proof there's no God right there.
For having sung that song. Stephen Hawking, get him on the phone again because we've got more proof for him. God damn her to hell.
That song is spectacularly bad, even for her.
But it's very popular in the woods where she lives.
Nope. They hate it.
Bean's going to be happy.
Tell me.
Well, why am I even telling him this? Like he doesn't already know.
Yeah, right. Tell the rest of us.
Scott Weiland is recording a Christmas album.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, I am happy. Are you kidding me?
He apparently had a very successful version of Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas last year, and so he's decided to go full boat and do an entire CD of Christmas music.
Who gives a damn?
Scott says it'll be a very traditional strings, jazz horns, piano, guitar. And there will be a reggae version of Little Drummer Boy. Merry Christmas.
Oh, no.
So look for that just in time for the lucrative holiday gift-giving season for you to get all your friends and relatives.
Very smart. If you come up with a Christmas album, it, you know. You
sells forever, right?
Record it once, sells forever, yeah. It's a good business model.
And sad news over the weekend. You probably heard by now that legendary stand-up comedian Robert Schimmel has passed away. Died Friday night in Phoenix from injuries he sustained in a car accident. He was 60 years old. The dude survived cancer and then died in a car crash, and the details of which are just as horrific as his passing. His 19-year-old daughter, Aaliyah, was driving at the time.
Oh, no.
They were run off the road by an out-of-control SUV. They hit a concrete embankment. The car rolled over.
No.
Robert's daughter was hospitalized but is expected to recover. His 11-year-old son was also in the car at the time, but he was uninjured. And the injuries that Robert sustained were fatal. So.
That's not funny.
Wow.
It is not funny. It is tragic. And, call Stephen Hawking up again. Let him know.
He survives cancer and then gets
killed. Dane Cook still walking around healthy as can be, by the way. Robert Schimmel, really funny, dead.
Yeah. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Chrissy Hynde of The Pretenders is 59 years old today. Corbin Burnson, actor who, of course, was first successful in L.A. Law, I guess, and now he is currently seen on Psych. He is 56 years old, as is Michael Emerson, Ben Linus from Lost. Angie Everhart's 41 years old today. Tom Everett Scott celebrates his 40th birthday. Chad Sexton, the 3'11", is 40 years old. Boxer Sugar Shane Mosley celebrates his 39th birthday. Shannon Elizabeth is 37. Actress Evan Rachel Wood celebrates her 23rd birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
How you doing? I'm Rob Dyrdek. I didn't go my senior year of high school and moved to California to pursue professional skateboarding.
I kept messing up and screaming, f***.
These guys started DC Shoes and asked me to come aboard, and that's when I really started getting into shoe design.
Come on, say I get extreme all day, every day, because I'm extreme!
I had a skate shop that lasted about 3 months. That was kind of where I first discovered stay out of retail.
If you didn't skateboard, what would you be doing?
I'd say right now I'd have like a full cocaine addiction.
Started a hip-hop label.
I like to bring joy. I live a pretty good life. Being in a position to help others live their dream is a great position.
Welcome to Rob Dyrdek's Fantasy Factory.
My big thing that I'm in the future going to do is develop a professional skateboarding league. That's my big thing.
Kevin, is there no security in the building?
Zero. Or
what? How does it happen that you just walk into a guy in the hall?
Hey, Rob Dyrdek.
Hey.
We were really excited to have you on tomorrow.
What happened, Rob?
You know, I like to surprise people certain times, and in turn, surprise myself.
Yeah. Tuesday, Wednesday, they're all about the same. It doesn't matter, right?
I would like to think I have an incredibly sound assistant that keeps my schedule so tight, especially in a week like this where it's been nonstop.
Right. And how's that working out?
And my whole thing, too, was like, normally I would have a publicist, you know, kind of handle everything to where I just show up and you know, but I'm just Kevin B. I'm just going to cruise down.
Just cruise on
down,
right? Just drive down. And I just had a bad feeling from the very beginning. I really did.
Now, when you got here, did you have a bad feeling that there was no one out there to meet you, or you had to talk your way in past the security, or?
Well, before panic could set in, I was in.
That says a lot about the security of the building, by the way, that anyone could just walk in, especially a guy that looks like Ron. You know what I'm saying? I mean, freaking sketchy, right?
So I walk out 10 minutes ago, and he's in the hallway, and I'm like, hey, hi.
What are you doing here, Ron? Well, anyway.
No, that is not what happened. I walked in with that bad feeling, and all I said, as soon as I walked in, I said, hi, am I supposed to be here today? I knew it was wrong. I knew something was incredibly wrong with what's going on. Like seeing like it's like walking in on your parents like doing something sketchy because everybody was just like mobilized.
We were all so surprised. That's why. All right. Well, since you are here, we'll just move this the questions up 24 hours.
Sure.
In that piece,
first of all, it's so hard for me to like hear your voice and look at your face.
I know. I'm sorry. I apologize.
We
don't like it either.
Rob says that because I am in studio right now, and Rob's used to seeing me on the magic television and just hearing me in his headphones. So
I'm used to hearing it. I'm not even used to even, like turning around and seeing the magic television.
No. It's no fun for me either, just so you know. Would I rather be at home in my underwear? Yes. Yes, I would.
Rather than hearing your underwear?
In that opening that we just played for you, Rob, you talked about how your ultimate dream is to start a skateboarding league. Mm-hmm. That sounds to me like that's happening.
That is.
It sounds to me like you're one step closer.
I mean, we had our first one in Phoenix, Arizona in the week before, and it was incredible. Had almost 7,000 people out there. And with this sort of new format that I have where you score trick by trick scoring, there was four guys that could win it on their final trick. It was like watching four back-to-back buzzer beaters till young Nyjah Houston won it and $150,000 for a single trick. You know,
unbelievable. We were giving away tickets last week on our show to this Street League skateboarding thing that's coming up on September 11th.
Yeah.
And this is the most prize money ever offered for a skateboarding event, right?
Right. So it's the most prize money in history. I mean, it's $1.2 million for the three stops where like the X Games, the Dude Tour Maloof Cup and everything combined is about $675,000, just to give you an idea of how much bigger the prize money is. But it's more about creating entertainment with skateboarding. You know, it's like I equate like skateboard contests in the past where you would just like as if you watched basketball and played 45 minutes straight and they never showed you the score. And then 10 minutes after it was over, they told you, and the Lakers won by 10. Kobe had 45. It'd be like, oh, like cool. I got to see a bunch of cool basketball for 45 minutes, but I didn't understand ever what was going on. You know,
interesting.
And that's sort of by doing this trick by trick scoring and adding this. This instant ISX instant scoring system, it's basically like four quarters of a game where you have the four different sections and they're accumulating points over these four quarters all leading up to the big rail in the final section. And it's you know, you watch a guy, you know, in that first one, Chris Cole's won every single contest. And, you know, this is the first time all these guys have ever known what place they're in. And, you know, he dominated the first section, made 10 tricks in a row and was winning, and then fell on three out of the four and dropped all the way to last place. And
wow.
It was like, oh my goodness. And even in his head, like, he started to panic, which led to him ultimately ending up in fifth place and not winning a contest, which hasn't happened in a long time. You know, it's.
That's amazing. Now, you can't compete because you're the commissioner of the sport.
No, I'm old.
Oh, and you're old. That's what it is. Commissioner and old.
You know what I mean? Don't show up at the arena expecting me to fly down a set of stairs.
Okay. You'll be the guy in the wheelchair watching from above.
Right. I'm going to be the guy explaining with lots of energy.
Now, are you the announcer? Do you announce?
No, I mean, I do a little bit in between, but I'm doing the television broadcast, so I can't.
Television?
Really.
Where is it on TV?
So it's on ESPN2. Did a 3-year deal with ESPN. And
look at this guy.
I know.
This
is
unbelievable, right?
Here's what's weird about Rob. Because we have a lot of people who have lofty goals, right? Rob says, I'm going to create a whole new skateboard league. And I just thought to myself at the time, that's a great dream.
How do you even start?
It's not attainable. At what point is this guy going to be brought back down to reality to realize stuff like that doesn't just happen?
Right.
And then he goes out and does it.
I'm going to tell you, it's an ominous task.
Like, right. And but that's why most of us go, I'm not going to try.
Yeah,
sounds great.
Too much work.
What was the, you have the support of the top athletes in the sport.
Right.
So you got that. I mean, obviously, that's the biggest plus going.
Right.
What was the obstacle then? What made it so tough? What made it ominous, in your word, to put this together?
I mean, it's just putting together a touring professional sports property and the moving parts behind that, be it arenas and production and building an event. I mean, it's like on game day, it's like 200 people, you know, and putting all that together and the sponsorships and dealing with the athletes. I signed all these guys exclusively to 3-year deals where no more X Games, Dude Tour, Maloof Cup, nothing, you know, and that's pretty huge.
Wait, these skateboarders won't be in the X Games?
Nothing there and nothing in 2011. Like, this year I gave them each a pass. Like, they had two wild cards. So,
you just killed the X Games, basically.
Well, no, I do have a deal with ESPN, so we'll probably sanction the X Games, you know, but it's just the reality of the exclusivity. It's just like NBA, UFC, like any other major professional sports property. It's like the powers, your superstars, and then, you know, for me, I just want to kind of create the standardize the sport and isolate where you look to, like, okay, the elite skate here, you know, and there's a lot of thought, even the way we do the production. It's, you know, even in Ontario, you know, it's a gorgeous brand new stadium. It's like with the lighting packages, and we build a full urban concrete plaza inside the arena on the floor. It has floor seating. Like, it looks gorgeous. Like, true professional sport.
First time around, I guess, you've got to build the infrastructure from the ground up. It would be like the guy who invented baseball then going having to go out and build Yankee Stadium before he could play.
Yeah.
I mean, you're right. There's an awful lot that has to be done. But I would imagine a guy like you who enjoys the fun parts of your job and the fantasy factory and stuff like that, doesn't your head hurt when you start getting into all these business meetings with all these suits and advertisers and construction guys and all the people you got to deal with?
You want to know what? It doesn't. The thing I enjoy most is how crazy everyone is, you know, and just being able to take meetings.
Yeah, they're all crazy.
That's it. Because I would think you'd want to put your name on it, let somebody else do all the work, and then just show up.
Yeah, you know, that's just not how I'm built. You know, I'm talking all the way down to micromanaging the height of a rail inside one of these plazas, to what the choice of the color concrete is, to like the, you know, to every last detail of even micromanaging what goes on the website. You know,
Rob's better than we are. We got it.
They must all hate you. It's a passion for it too. You know what I mean?
Yeah, of course.
It's the reality of, like, I have an, you know, I selectively put together a team of people that are good people that are just as inspired and believe in what I'm doing, and that sort of creates a much bigger momentum to have everybody work so much harder to make something great and execute it with you. You know, it's a fun process.
All right, we need to take a break. Rob Dyrdek is here talking about the Street League.
Well, we're as surprised as you are.
We want to find out which skaters you have, you know, and we want to talk more about that. We can get back on the Kevin.
So it sounds like a joke, but Rob Dyrdek walks into a radio station is how this story begins, and no one expects to see him. But we're still delighted anyway, because he's one of our favorite Citizens Bank Arena in Ontario. That's in California, don't you know? September 11th, the happiest day on the calendar anyway. Now you got something else to celebrate, which is you with your big skateboarding event going on out there.
Is that this Saturday?
That is this Saturday.
That's this Saturday.
How about that?
But you couldn't get any of the big names for the event. That's the problem with you, right, Rob?
Tell us the skaters that you have.
I mean, it's everybody. It's you know, Ryan Sheckler, Paul Rodriguez, Chris Cole, Chaz Ortiz, like Greg Lutzka, basically everyone that's ever won a contest in the last couple of years. But beyond that, what kind of makes this different is there's a lot of elite street kids that would never go to contests, would never go to the X Games or Do Tour or any of that stuff, like your Mike Mo, because they get paid so much money to just do what they do in the streets, and there's just this sort of aspect of I would call it selling out, but just not wanting to be inside this world of like action sports when they are so elitist as pro street skaters, you know. And
do you understand that attitude?
Absolutely.
You do?
I certainly do.
No, because the reason I ask, because a lot of people love skateboarding, but if they want to make a living at it, they have to sell out to a certain extent.
Well, no, it's just the reality. These guys make so much money a year and have never been to a contest.
Really? And they're not interested in endorsements and things like that?
Absolutely uninterested. You know, like, because, like, if to get to walk into that crossover world, like, it's sort of limited for professional street skaters. They look at, like, Sheckler and P-Rod kind of all have that. Like, they don't even bother putting themselves in that position, you know. And this is the first time that they're all meeting together. That's why.
How did you get those guys to be interested in this? Just because it's street skating only?
Because it's street skating only. It's, like, all the principles that I've sort of applied. Like, I've almost said, like, hey, this is your gateway to the mainstream. Where, like, if you do good in this, like, now this isn't the X Games or the Do Tour. Any of that stuff, like, this is like, you know, I'm going to do it on that same level, mm-hmm. but it's going to be done in it absolutely, you know, pure to our core roots, you know. And that's why it's the first time, and it is a brutal contest, because it is 7 tries in each section. Every try counts, you know. And
do you take like the top 2 or 3?
Well, it's,
or
like, no, it's just like the top, you know, it accumulates scores, you know. And so, like, whoever has the top 6 have make it to the finals, and then all that didn't make it to the finals skate the big section, the big rail, for like basically a last chance qualifier the day of the contest, and whoever gets the highest points has another shot into the finals. And last time, Tori Pudwell, you know, who's not a contest skater, won the LCQ and then got 3rd in the contest, you know, which, you know, made him he was in like 12th or something, you know. But Greg Lutzka and Ryan Sheckler didn't make the cut in that first one, you know. And it's just the reality of
how good all of these.
It is the first time that truly the 24 best dudes alive are skating in a contest, and it is incredibly, incredibly competitive.
Now, it's not a cumulative thing. They don't go on to this next contest, right? They win.
Right, it'll be
and
East, but we have
like
a champion. It's close to that. I mean, it's like any other, you know, pro sports tour, like NASCAR or whatever, where they're accumulating points for a points champion who would be the overall league champion.
Right.
Because whoever's low overall, we have a huge profit share, and it's based off of where you end up ranked at the end of each year. So if you are the champion, then you have like the lion's share, the profit share.
Speaking of NASCAR, you should do the car skateboard league. You should start that.
Man, I'm not even kidding. I really think
I'm
I should.
Serious.
Because it'd be cool.
Car
skateboard. I said, like, that whole episode was about inventing sport initially. We just couldn't get the payoff. But that's how I felt about that. Like, that was, like, one day, like, people are going to take that to, like, some crazy level.
Rob took a car and put skids on, what do you call it, on the bottom of it.
Just I put a steel plate.
Steel plate.
Got and they real were, sketchy.
It was really great. And then he gets in the car and everybody's like, are you scared? Yeah, he's like, I don't care. I'm just going to go for it.
I mean, the thing was, is like, the day of, We didn't do any engineering. We didn't, like when I jumped 40 feet onto that bar, we had to just keep cutting a little bit of the bar off. I'd have to do it again and jump 20 feet, cut the bar off, jump 30 feet, cut the bar off, because we had no, we did no testing. We just showed up there with a, like what looked like would work and just did it, you know.
Can you stick around for one more break? Would you mind?
Sure.
Okay. Rob Dyrdek is here. The Street League is happening again. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's 7:36.
Michael Jackson may be dead, but at least Alien Ant Farm is alive to do that song. So there's some bright side, right? Hey, you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. More with our guest, Rob Dyrdek, in a moment. First, though, major announcement. We promised you all weekend long we would tell you about something to do with Muse.
Yeah, we said it was going to be at 7:15, but we're not good with the clock.
How about this? How about access for you to a private Muse soundcheck performance? We're going to be playing Muse for you next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. When you hear it, be caller 20 to win your way in. Plus, somebody who goes to the Super Secret Muse soundcheck performance will win the autographed guitar handed to you from the stage right from Matt Bellamy himself of Muse.
Nice.
How about that? How's that for a hookup if you're a Muse fan?
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
They are, of course, one of the world's greatest live bands. So check out all the details at KevinandBean.com. Your first chance to qualify your way in happens next hour right here on the Kevin and Bean Show. All right, Street League skateboarding is happening. We already told you about that. It's going to be Saturday in Ontario. Our guest is Rob Dyrdek, who, by the way, you can't get away from him on the MTV. Am I right, Lisa?
That is absolutely
his show is
true.
On about 12 hours of
all
every 24
time.
Hours on MTV.
It's just Dyrdek TV.
Yeah.
Essentially, it is, yeah.
Bizarre.
Now, Rob, this season you've had some weird stuff. The one where you cheered up your mom by doing stand-up. I got the impression she doesn't care much for you.
Well,
I really did.
I'm going to tell you what, number one, what you didn't realize, this is some behind-the-scenes stuff, is she was constipated. Okay. She'd be really angry if I told you that, but, you know, the
is
reality
that true?
Of it, that was a fact. Like, we were fighting through, like, I can't go. Like, we got to go. We got to finish this right now. You know, and she genuinely didn't think I was funny. And then the opening act where I did stand-up was, like, the most vulgar, foul, F this and F that. My mom was just like,
oh, no. And she's already got to be so disappointed with you as a son, right?
as a whole, that's why, like, you know, another episode I got coming up is I started the Anti-Cursing Coalition, choosing alternative words to curse words. And I'm like, Mom, you know, I started out the show and I called her on speak. I just want you to know I'm starting the Anti-Cursing Coalition. I'm telling kids to choose fudge and shizzy. And I'm like, Mom, like, what do you use for alternative curse words, Rob? I don't, because even it's the same thing. And I'm like, well, what do you do when Dad like burns the cookies or something? She's like, Rob, for 40 years, your dad has never cooked. Right? Like, just like where I thought she was leaning into, like she's just that. She is TV magic.
Yeah. Yeah.
You also you had Sri. How do you say his name?
Sri Ravi Shankar.
This is a His Holiness, I believe, is his nickname. He's like one a spiritual guide leader,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, like he's like shit, like the Indian Jesus.
He's the Indian Jesus, and Rob's manager has pictures of him all over the place. I mean,
again, meditates to him, like, and then you know he's so aggro and will be so rude and be like, I didn't meditate today, like where it's like, nah, man, you're just that much of a. So to speak.
Yeah. Sure. Use myself. The alternate word, Rob.
A word that your mom would use. So then he shows up. Rob has him over to the Fantasy Factor, and he's doing the skateboarding, and he's jumping in the pit, and he's just
Indian really? Jesus is skateboarding?
Yes.
Awesome.
Man. And then he was like, let's get in the T-Rex. Oh, yes. And it's just me, and, you know, and of course, like, he's so funny because he's seriously like a very renowned spiritual leader and beautiful, beautiful human being. And he's got like Gucci sunglasses on, like three cell phones. Like, like it's so funny.
But you can tell that he's pure.
Real. He's real. Yeah.
You know what
real.
I mean? Like he's a real deal.
Yeah. He's definitely like a real, you know, we did sort of a life of business and politics and ethics conference with myself, him, and Jean-Paul Mitchell.
Okay. I thought your hair looked good.
One of these is not like the other.
And it was where, you know, Jean-Paul is crazy. And, you know, Sri is really, really an interesting, incredible person that's like stopped wars and saved abused people and just crazy. It's really amazing.
But he's able to have a great time when he comes to your place.
But he was my version of fun he really enjoyed, which is foam pits and tennis ball guns and T-Rexes.
You have to find yourself in so many weird situations that you never would have anticipated.
Oh, my God. More than you could even imagine.
Your life is so crazy.
Now, when you're doing Young and the Reckless, when you jumped out of the building,
is that
this season? Yes.
Yeah.
I'm so confused with which season is which.
You're just spot on. You haven't missed yet. Man.
That building, when you look up at it, you go, eh, no big. But when you're looking down, it's got to look like it's a million feet.
Yeah, I don't really get scared on stuff that'd have to be some weird catastrophic thing to get hurt on, but that's still jumping seven stories out. You look out and it feels like you look past the back.
Yeah.
So even though you know you're going to be fine, you just got to not jump too hard.
But it's one of those giant, what are they, stuntmen?
Yeah, yeah.
Bags or whatever you land on.
You know, but for him, you know, he's never done something where he's had to, push his threshold ever, you know. So even jumping out of that for him, and that was, you know, the whole concept was you have to live your brand. But originally, Ocho Cinco was supposed to jump with us, you know, and he backed out, you know.
I wonder why.
It was just that was the whole culmination, and did the whole episode, and he would never take our phone call again after we filmed the first half of that episode.
Nice. All right, speaking of testing your manhood, tell us about your upcoming episode in Hawaii. And
the episode is all about, you know, it's with Danny Way and Laird Hamilton, you know, and it's just about...
Those guys are bad news, Rob.
Well, I mean, they're the most manly men you'll ever meet. And it's like, the whole thing is like, understand and know your man level.
Yeah. They're going to get you into trouble.
And the reality of it is like, I mean, it's like, these guys are climbing coconut trees and we're throwing axes and like, it's just... I went squid fishing and like bit a squid and it wrapped around my whole head. Like, it all culminated to getting pulled in on a wave. You know, I never surfed before and...
All right, let's stop right there. He's never surfed before.
Well, that's how you want to start, is with Laird Hamilton and a big wave in Hawaii.
You have to get pulled in, because if you don't, you don't have the speed up this 15, 20
foot wave.
But
the whole thing is like, I don't know if he's just overly manning me by saying, oh, yeah, you could do it easy. You know?
But
it's
you've
like,
never surfed. He's lying to you.
That's
if he
what
says
I'm saying. And it's like when I was doing the first testing, when I was laying on my back in the ocean floating, waiting for him to be like, here we go. I just felt like I was going to get attacked by a shark and just was laying there like, you have no business here. Why? This isn't even funny. Why are you here?
Don't go see Piranha 3D either, by the way. Don't want to think about what's under the water.
But again, and I really almost died. Like, I had two life jackets on and got caught in two waves, and it held me down for so long that I finally had to give up. And right as I gave up, like, I popped right to the surface and...
You thought you were dead.
I mean, I really did. Like, I had to give up. Like,
how long? I mean, I know it seemed like an hour underwater, but how long were you really under?
Over a minute. I don't know.
Really?
It was
over a minute.
Real, like, where I had to start swallowing water and just popped right up, and he came flying in and grabbed me, you know, and you know, the way me and Drummer are like, man. You're gonna go down a lot of man levels if Laird Hamilton's got to give you mouth to mouth.
What's it like when you think you're drowning?
It's seriously
good times.
No, but I mean, I'm wondering, are you able to think about anything other than how can I get air? Do you get any of those things that some people talk about with a change in consciousness?
I mean,
or think about your family or anything like that?
I really didn't. I think like right when I was ready to like I had to swallow water, like where mm-hmm. I was still in the like, I've got to pop up at some point here, and like trying to swim and not having any sense of direction where I was. And it was like the moment like I was just about to hit panic mode. Of like, wow. I'm dying, like poof, like popped right out, like.
But because of the kind of guy you are and the experiences you've had, there must have been something. There must have been a switch that said, "Stay calm. Whatever you do, ride this out. Stay calm. Don't panic. Don't make any dumb mistakes." Yeah. Right?
For sure. I was as cool as a cucumber.
Sure.
I wasn't like...
Now here's the test of insanity. Did you go again?
No,
okay.
That was him.
No,
I mean, that was that was him saying he's like so, he feels like he's one of those people that's so gnarly that they just think everyone's gnarly when they're not.
Right.
And so it's like, I really believe like if there was like a catastrophic nuclear war, he would swim back from Hawaii and reseed the earth. Like, and rebuild our cities. You know
who wouldn't do that?
You.
You, my friend.
Of course, we couldn't see whether you wet yourself or not because you were already wet, so there's no way to tell.
When's that episode coming up?
I believe that's next week.
Next week. All right.
Good times.
Yeah.
Well, you should watch Rob's show on MTV, and you should definitely go to the Street League Skateboarding Pro Tour, which is going to be this Saturday. That is in Ontario, and that is at the Citizens Business Bank Arena on Saturday. The website, again, for folks who want to buy their tickets.
StreetLeague.com.
Have a great time, Rob. So we'll see you again tomorrow, right, when you're regularly scheduled to be in.
And thank you for accommodating my lack of scheduling.
No, no worries. Just announced here on the Kevin and Bean Show, your chance to get up close and personal with Muse at a private sound check next hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Listen for us to play any song by Muse when we do be caller 20, and you're into the sound check. Plus, you might win the autographed guitar from Matt Bellamy himself from Muse.
No way.
This is cool. I know.
This is cool because they have the entire setup like they're going to on tour, and there's so few of you, you just sit there and go, I shouldn't be here right now.
Really?
But it's really cool.
All that coming up, plus the Pitbull of Comedy, Bobby Slayton, will be here too on the Kevin Bean Show. Here's Ralph with the Showbiz Beat for Tuesday.
It is on!
What's on?
Like Donkey Kong. The battle between Wyclef Jean and Sean Penn.
All right.
It is on!
Is the battleground Haiti?
It is. Because Penn thinks Haiti's his.
Yeah.
And Wyclef thinks Haiti's his. Two men enter, one man leaves.
They both called dibs?
Yes. Here's the thing. Sean has been casting aspersions on the sincerity behind Wyclef Jean's bid to become president of Haiti. He has some questions about it. And okay. He's been voicing those questions publicly.
Is he doubting Wyclef's commitment to his native homeland?
He says, this is someone who's going to receive an enormous amount of support from the United States, and I have to say I'm very suspicious of it, simply because he, as an ambassador at large, has been virtually silent. Sean says, for those of us in Haiti, he has been a non-presence.
Mm.
He also discusses what is being called the mishandling of $400,000 that were donated for aid to Haiti after the earthquake that Wyclef's foundation apparently mishandled, and that money did not get to the people. And Sean is asking questions about that foundation. Wants to know what's up with that.
Interesting.
Hmm.
He said, I haven't seen or heard anything of Wyclef in these last 6 months, and I've been in Haiti. I think he's an important voice. I hope he doesn't sacrifice that voice by taking the eye off the very devastating realities on the ground.
What's Sean Penn doing in Haiti for 6 months?
Helping people?
I do think he's living there.
He is living there.
For 6 months.
Yeah. Wow. Living there, heading up relief efforts, trying to help build and clear debris and stuff. I mean, he's really putting in time.
Is he doing it as Spicoli?
Yeah, to make a comedy.
To make it funny, right?
Yeah, to make a comedy.
How dare you.
He also said that Wyclef showed up at one point with a string of limousines and an entourage.
Ouch.
Oh.
That he says, I want to see someone who's really willing to sacrifice for the country, Sean says about this. Not just someone who I personally saw with a vulgar entourage of vehicles that demonstrated a wealth in Haiti that, in context, I felt was a very obscene demonstration.
I hate to agree with Sean Penn because he's a dick, but it sounds like he's making some pretty valid points here.
Well, wait to hear Wyclef's response.
Okay.
This weekend, at a presidential campaign concert of the weekend, Wyclef Jean said, I got a message for Sean Penn. Maybe he ain't seen me in Haiti because he was too busy sniffing cocaine.
Oh, no, he did.
Oh, snap.
Wait, what?
Snap.
Oh, shit, here we go. It's on. Race war.
Yeah.
Race war's on, everybody. It's going down.
Yeah, that was his well-reasoned response.
Well, he sounds
maybe
presidential.
Maybe he ain't seen me in Haiti because he was too busy sniffing cocaine.
He wasn't sniffing cocaine. He was sniffing gum.
Yeah. So that's his response.
I love
so
this.
Far.
Wow.
Not quite perhaps as fact-filled and thought out as Sean's allegations. But
you would think
you
with that many specific...
Oh, yeah? Well, you do drugs.
With that many specific charges, you would think it would be easy to defend if you could defend
if
it.
If you could, yeah.
Interesting story,
man. Anyway, I just thought that was funny.
That's great.
Let's move on to something lighter, shall we? Miranda Kerr.
Oh, yes.
Victoria's Secret model.
Yes.
Is pregnant.
Yeah.
And
disappointment. Yeah.
Apparently, she's having some cravings.
Say it, Kevin.
Stop.
You know what Kevin's thinking?
I'm not going to say it. I know I'm a professional.
She's from Australia, you see.
Right.
And so she's been craving a local delicacy there known as Vegemite.
Oh, yeah.
Are you familiar with Vegemite?
Yeah.
He just smiled and gave me a Vegemite sandwich. Remember that line from Do You Come from the Land Down Under, that Men at Work song?
Sure, still don't know what it is.
Vegemite apparently is...
What's in it?
It is a yeast extract spread.
Ooh.
That the Australians use on their bread like peanut butter or
any other
tasty... That's not like mayonnaise.
It's more like butter.
I was thinking, but a different word.
So apparently she's been jonesing for it, and so she's having cases of Vegemite flown to the States here so that she can eat it while she's with child.
I live near an Australian pot pie store.
Wow.
No joke.
Great story. This has never been said.
And
great
story. And they sell Vegemite right there on the shelves. You can buy Vegemite for
you
the...
You better have something more.
No, I'm just
you
saying...
You better come up with more than just what you've said so far. Okay. I will come across right, and physically attack
finish
you.
Finish it off with, she didn't have to go that far to get it.
I'm just saying, there are there's a market for Australian foods for, you know, for expats who live in this country. You can go places and buy Vegemite. You don't have to have it shipped all the way from down under. That's all I'm saying.
Any more pot pie stories?
No. Yeah. But an Australian pot pie store.
I just think you're terrific.
Thank you very much.
You are rich. Let's talk celebrity birthday, shall we? Chrissy Hynde of The Pretenders is 59 years old today. Chrissy came from a class of female musicians where you didn't have to be super hot to be successful.
Enormously talented.
But let's say she looked more like Joey Ramone than she did Taylor Swift.
Yes.
Let's put it in context. Michael Emerson of Lost is 56 years old today. Model Angie Everhart is 41. Tom Everett Scott turns 40 years old. Chad Sexton of 311 is 40. Sugar Shane Mosley celebrates his 39th birthday today. Actress Shannon Elizabeth turns 37. And Evan Rachel Wood is 23 years old and now blissfully Marilyn Manson free. So she's got to be celebrating, right?
I would think.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. First day of a four-day work week for many of us. Bobby Slayton, the Pitbull of Comedy, coming up later on today. And this hour, of course, be Color 20. When you hear us play any song by Muse, get up close and personal for the Muse Super Secret Sound Check. And maybe win Matt Bellamy's guitar handed to you right from the stage.
He's going to autograph it and hand it to somebody.
Sweet.
Could be you.
Might not be you, though.
Right, but there aren't going to be that many people there. So
right, but I'm saying it doesn't mean it's you.
But if you're not in there, you don't have a chance at all.
You don't have any chance. Because you can't win, Kevin, if you don't play.
But if you hear a Muse song and call in and win, then you'll be there, and it's very possible.
I'm no longer.
All right. Let's talk about irrational fears, because a lot of people have them, and... it seems like this is the kind of topic we could do once a week and we'll get calls at 1-800-520-1067. Yeah. Things that you're afraid of that it seems like nobody else is. We just had a comedian in last week named Jim Jeffries, and he's apparently afraid of bananas.
That's bananas.
He's literally like he was doing the show and somebody brought out a banana and he left the room.
I have a thing with bananas. There's people don't like balloons. Some people don't like baked beans. Some people don't like clowns. I don't like bananas.
What is it? How does it make you feel when you see it, though?
It used to make me vomit. Now it's just like someone holding a spider to like an arachnophobe or something. I'm going.
I'll be back in a second.
He's gonna leave. Just when you finish, I'll be back. Just when you finish your banana.
Delicious.
Wow.
Now, when you talk about being afraid of bananas, look, I understand not liking a food or even being grossed out by food. Like, I hate tomatoes. I can't eat tomatoes. I don't want to have anything to do with tomatoes.
But that's different. You don't run from the room.
That's what I'm saying. That's where I'm different from Jim Jeffries, in that I can go to the store and buy tomatoes for my wife and take them home, or I can have them on the counter in front of me. They don't bother me. I just don't want to eat them. I don't like the texture of a tomato. But it sounds like he literally has to leave the room if somebody's eating a banana.
There's fear. There's actual fear of a banana.
And I think that kind of anxiety that's built into a phobia where, you know, people who are afraid of heights, when they start going up that elevator and get to floor number 3 or 4, it's something you can't control. That instinctive feeling that something's wrong. I'm that way with rats. And I know
a lot of people are that way with rats.
No, I don't mean rooms of rats. I mean, I'm guy who rides horses and encounters mountain lions and shies away, you know, shoos away coyotes. I feel fine. If I see one little baby rat, I freak out like a bitch.
Do you scream like a little girl and jump on a chair?
It's something about, and that's what I'm talking about, that internal feeling. I get so weirded out by even the idea of a rat being near me.
Mice? How about mice?
No, not really.
Just rats.
Mice are cool.
I used to have a rat as a pet. Does that wig you out?
I did too.
It doesn't bother me. I understand it. And I've even, my shrink has even said maybe look into that, getting one for yourself to make yourself more comfortable. And I can't do it. I can't. Wow. The notion of a rat. You have dogs
the size of rats, though, so that's kind of
very true.
And you thought you were safe watching Mad Men until this week. And now all of a sudden you can't even watch Mad Men anymore without being terrified of rats. All right, so let's go back to the banana for a minute. Because on top of Jim Jeffries, who's a guy that we now know who is afraid of bananas, there's a woman in the newspaper named Fran Dando who suffers from, and I swear to God, I'm not making this up, this is what they're calling it, banana phobia.
Oh, come on. How many people are there that are afraid of bananas?
And why bananas except if she got touched by daddy? I mean, why?
With a banana.
Well, or something.
The London Metro newspaper says the whole thing started when she was seven. Her brother put a banana in her bed as a joke, and it terrified her. She said it felt horrible and slimy. She was frozen in panic and started to hyperventilate, and I guess she has a mental association since that day that it was such a bad surprise for her at seven. Now, to this day, as an adult, she sees a banana and she feels those same sensations.
I guess you can sort of understand that, but most of us just would have gone, oh, gross.
Yeah. Right. And it doesn't turn into this whole thing for the rest of your life.
All right. So here are the kind of calls that we need, like Vanessa, for example. Give us a call, 1-800-520-1067. Vanessa, what are you afraid of?
I'm scared of trash trucks.
Trash trucks?
Yes, trash trucks.
Did your brother put a trash truck in your bed when you were seven?
No, actually, when I was like in third grade, I remember watching the news with my mom one night, and I remember hearing about a trash truck having the hydraulic arm, bust or break somehow, and a school bus was going by, and this hydraulic arm went up and like decapitated school bus children's heads.
Oh my God.
So every time I pass a trash truck, I think this arm is going to break. It's going to cut my head off. And, like, I panic. I, like, have to drive as fast as I can away.
That does make sense, because something like that would make an indelible impression on you when you're a little kid.
If you're traumatized as a child.
You're traumatized. I can understand. And it's the same thing with this woman in the banana, I guess.
Jim Jeffries, the comedian. I don't know what he's afraid of.
What happens when you see a trash truck now? You just get all clammy or sweaty or something?
I start shaking. I get all sweaty. If I'm driving, I don't care if I drive on the wrong side of the road.
Are going to die. Not from the trash truck, but from trying to get away from the trash truck.
Yeah,
that's
going to
be the irony of your death.
Vanessa, thank you very much for the call. Wow, how about that? Let's take one more before the break. It's going to be Nicole on line two. Then we want to hear from you, your irrational fears. You know it's crazy. You can't help yourself. 1-800-520-1067. Hi, Nicole.
Hi.
By the way, these stories are even better if you can't trace it back to a childhood drama. And you know what I mean?
Like, just some weird random
drama.
Okay, you don't. Okay, so what are you afraid of?
Shrimp.
Oh,
don't date Psycho Mike.
I don't know why they just scare me. Like, they're ugly.
They are
they're
ugly.
Nasty. I can't eat them. I won't look at them if they're in the food. My mom will make like pasta with shrimp. I will not touch it. I will not eat at the table. They just freak me out.
And it's not even the taste. It's just the way they look. That creepy, like prehistoric creature look that they have.
The only way I can like look at them as if it's like shrimp tempura where it's like covered in batter or something, but other I cannot look
as long as it's hidden, you can eat it.
How about oysters and clams and other things like that?
That's fine.
All good.
Shrimp,
just shrimp.
I don't know what it is.
How about lobster? That's kind of shrimp like. Crustacean.
No, that doesn't bother
Lobster's
me.
Lobster's fine too. And you have no idea where this got started.
No, and it's weird because everybody's like, what is it about shrimp that creeps you out? I'm like, I don't know. It just creeps me out like they're spiders. Like, I can't take it.
Psycho Mike's doctor said that he should maybe get a rat. Maybe you should just sit in a room of shrimp for a while.
So crazy.
I know. At first you would hyperventilate, but then you might get over it.
I don't know about
All right.
that one.
Great call, Nicole. Thank you very much. 1-800-520-1067. Your calls on irrational fears next on the Kevin.
To Muse on the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ, and it's 25 minutes after 8.
Speaking of Muse, all this week, keep listening to the Kevin and Bean Show for your chance to win your way into a Muse private sound check. Thanks to Matt Sears for listening today. He is winner number one, so he'll get a chance to see the band up close and personal and may win Matt Bellamy's guitar right from the band himself. Details at kevinandbean.com. Right now, we're talking about banana phobia, which is a word that sounds like a joke, but apparently that's what they call it when you are afraid of bananas, like this woman in the news, Fran Dando, who says she just is terrified of them. Got us thinking about other irrational fears.
Does seem like odd stuff to be afraid of. Like Missy, there are always these calls. Missy, hi.
Hi.
You're afraid of what?
I'm afraid of cotton balls.
Yeah! And everyone here says cotton.
Cotton balls.
Cotton balls.
I don't know why.
Tell us why.
Is it the
Dave
texture?
Has the same problem.
It's the actual cotton ball. So like t-shirts don't bug me, but it's like the sound they make when you rip them. The texture, like
they're so loud.
I have goosebumps. Wait.
The sound cotton balls make. Is that what you said?
Like when you rip them apart, it's
you can barely hear it.
No, you can totally hear it. You can feel it. Like, ooh, it's so gross.
Can anyone in the other room find us a cotton ball? Seriously, bring in a cotton ball
right
now. You're
not saying it right.
Cotton.
Cotton. Are you, ball. All right, and I don't mean this the way it sounds, but are you afraid of any other balls?
No,
just,
I love balls.
Just got it. So what do you do when you crack open a brand new bottle of Tylenol?
Oh, I usually give it to somebody else to open, and they'll taunt me with the cotton ball that's in there.
They do the right thing.
Is it?
Now, yeah, and I will run. I will scream bloody murder until it's gone.
I would torture you with that for the rest of your life.
You would follow her around with a cotton ball.
Q-tips. Q-tips have cotton. Like, I can't use any of it. I'm so scared of it.
Your ears must be horrible.
Wow. Can you use cotton ply toilet paper?
Good question, because you tear that.
Yeah, you tear that.
Yeah, well, usually, like, the one ply is okay.
One ply is okay.
Two is
toilet paper rule.
Two's over the top.
The two plies.
Oh, my God, Missy, you're awesome. You're crazy, but you're awesome. Thank you very much. All right, let's just blow through these as many, because we got some great calls. Let's try Adam, line 3. We're talking about irrational fears, whether you know or don't know why it is you're afraid of it. Adam, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What's your thing, man?
I'm afraid of mustard.
No.
Afraid of mustard.
No, it's
not,
you're
not. Not just that you don't like it.
I hate it.
Right.
It stinks and it freaks me out.
Look, I hate ketchup. Hate it, but...
Not afraid of
it. I don't leave the room if somebody else has ketchup. Are you that bad with mustard?
I will get away from it as best as possible.
See, that's the big difference. You can hate something and be okay, but when you have to leave the room...
That's when it gets bizarre.
Okay, interesting. Thank you. Christina, line 6. Christina, thank you for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What's your irrational fear?
I have a fear of stickers.
Stickers?
Well, they can kill you. Oh, wait.
What? Any stickers? Just...
Yeah, you know, like you get stickers at school or at the doctor's office, and I've got kids now, so my kids come home with stickers and they want to give me one. I can't even have it stuck to my clothes, let alone my skin. If someone tries to stick it to my skin, I'd probably throw up.
Okay, and I know that we're saying it's an irrational fear, and you understand that it's irrational, but nothing could harm you less than a sticker.
I mean, that's the cotton ball.
Maybe a cotton ball. But those are the least of items least likely to attack you. What is it about a sticker?
I don't know. My skin's crawling right now just talking about it, but I threaten to punch people when they try to
my God.
Okay. At me with a sticker.
How about postage stamps?
You know what? That's kind of weird because, you kind of have to peel those off.
Yeah, right. They stick. They're just like a sticker.
Or a DMV sticker on your car.
Yeah, what about the little stickers you put on your license plate? What do you do with those?
Those I guess I can handle. Huh. I guess it's just the ones that, you know, when you try to stick them on something or someone, it grosses me out.
How about Band-Aids?
You know what? I don't really use Band-Aids, but if it was a bad enough...
Your kids don't have a chance.
All right. Thank you very much
for
the call.
Mom, it's bleeding.
This is so weird.
I don't use Band-Aids.
All right. Let's try Stephanie, line 1. Stephanie, thank you for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. You've heard the other crazies listing. What do you have to add?
I'm afraid of windmills.
Windmills?
Yeah.
Because one will come off and cut your head off or something?
I guess so. The newer ones, the big, tall ones that are just like out in the middle of nowhere.
Like when you're driving to Palm Springs?
Oh, yeah, I see. Those wind generators, not the old... Yeah. Okay,
so
I got
you.
So
what happens when you drive to Palm Springs?
I usually have to have somebody else driving, but if I drive through there, I have to look the other way.
You just close your eyes. You can't look the other way. They're on both sides.
I know. I have to look down in the middle of the road and try to avoid them out. You know?
And what is it you your deepest darkest fear is that they're going to do to you? Create too much wind?
No, I think it's probably the fact that they're moving and they're not alive, but they're so big and I don't know, they're going to come alive like robots or something.
Do you do okay with fans?
Fans, yeah. I think it's just the weird how big they are.
Have you ever gone miniature golfing? And seen a windmill. Then what?
Yes. Those ones don't bother me.
All right, so it's the big ones that really scare you.
It's the creepy ones that at night become alive and go and terrorize people.
Exactly.
Those. I understand. All right. Okay. All right, this is crazy. What do we have time for? We have so many great calls.
We don't have time for any of them unless you want to do another.
No, we don't have that.
Well, then let's just go through and get what it is, and we won't ask any follow-up questions. Dave?
Yes.
What are you afraid of?
Garbage disposals.
Okay. Don't be bad. Thanks for the call.
All right. Let's go to Addison. Hi.
Hi. I'm afraid of people shaving.
Okay. I have to ask a follow-up question.
Can't.
How about when you shave?
I can shave, but, like, I can't watch my boyfriend shave. But I can't watch, like, the commercials, like Gillette commercials. I will walk out of the room. It's disgusting. The fact that they could cut themselves, it creeps me out.
So there's a real fear there.
But she shaves herself, though, she knows that you can safely shave.
Is it the face and the neck?
All right, listen, we are not following our own rule of no follow-up questions.
Okay, keep going.
Okay, that's fascinating, though. Wow.
All right, let's go to Jake. Hi, Jake.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What are you afraid of?
Nail files.
Good enough. Thanks for calling.
All right.
Wow, that's understandable. Let's go to Lily. Hi, Lily.
Hi, I'm afraid of strawberries.
Oh, that's as weird as bananas.
Strawberries?
Yeah.
Can't be in the same room.
No follow-up question.
Sorry.
Thank you.
One more. Hilda gets the final word. Hilda, what are you irrationally afraid of?
I'm afraid of staring at the moon.
Yeah, you gotta move.
Why? Wait, why?
That's a werewolf thing.
Wait, oops, sorry, can't answer. That's too bad. But why?
Well, when I was 6 years old, I remember having a dream.
Where the moon attacked you?
I was looking for my dad because somebody had...
I'm sorry, I asked. Yeah. And he was an astronaut.
And you saw him on the moon.
Then
all right, I shouldn't have asked. That's my bad. I shouldn't have asked. That's my bad.
Are you afraid of people mooning you?
No. Just at night
the moon.
When I go to sleep, and if the moonlight is going through my window, I close the curtains and I put blankets to be dark.
The moon is a well-known killer. It absolutely happens all the time. Reaches right out, just snatches you from your bed. It's snatching your people up.
Run and tell that.
Run and tell that, homeboy. Thanks for the call.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 20 minutes till 9 o'clock.
Ralph has the showbiz beat in minutes here on the Kevin Bean Show, and then the Pitbull of Comedy joins us next hour. The return of comedian Bobby Slayton coming up right now. Hey, how about the Kevin Bean Internet Roundup?
Click that mouse and open your browser. Pull up your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
All right, we put up a bunch of our favorite videos. Some of them don't have audio, so we can't feature them that way. I don't know if you saw the U.S. Open fight. This is at the tennis match, and it's between a young guy and an old man and his old wife.
It's crazy because you don't know what started it, but somebody else in the stadium starts filming it. And you're just trying, you're watching it from some distance away, seeing these people fight and trying to figure out how it happened.
So good. The crazy crash caught on tape. There's a driver, and I don't know why the driver's videotaping. Right?
He's not. It's a police car.
Oh, it's a police car.
That's a police car that's driving down the street, and out of nowhere, a car comes on the center divider of this car and just launches through the air and smashes into a bridge and just explodes into a million pieces.
Oh my God.
And it just coincidentally happened to be around a police car who was able to film that thing. It's crazy. And by the way, the guy driving the car survived.
That's
unbelievable, right?
Because the thing just exploded into a million pieces.
Yeah. You have to go to KevinAndBean.com. You have to see this video. You've never seen an auto crash like this up close.
Details about that? Was he drinking?
I don't know.
Do you know anything?
Don't know.
He was going twice the speed of the cop car, though. I mean, he flew by him like he was standing still.
God.
And then there's a girl that gets owned by a Desert Eagle. I don't know if you've seen the Desert Eagle. It's a 50 caliber pistol, which is unbelievably strong for a pistol. Usually it's just a rifle.
It's got a little kick to it.
A lot of kick to it. This girl doesn't know it. She's holding
trying to fire it.
Boom! And it hits her right in the face. So great. And then there's a montage of people walking into glass doors,
which
I've done so many times. And I watched this like four times over the weekend. To see the different reactions too, because sometimes everyone else is laughing, sometimes they go but walking into a glass door is not something that I haven't done.
I did it once, and I think I got a concussion. I hit the glass so hard. And you brought up a great point earlier. It's one thing if you see something coming that you're going to hit and you can prepare yourself,
brace yourself.
Right, when you walk into a glass door, you don't know what's there. You're full speed, you're walking at full speed, and then all of a sudden something is hitting you in the face and you have no idea where it came from, and it is a shock to the system.
Yeah, you feel it before you see it or know it in any other way. I don't know what You Again is. It's a movie?
Yes, new movie with Kristen Bell.
Kristen Bell, Betty White.
Yes.
Odette Usman.
Yes.
And Sigourney Weaver.
Yes.
So on Funny or Die, they're doing a press conference, and they get into a little bit of a battle.
Three,
3, 2, 1, lift. Let's off. Do
it. I wish that was it. I wish that was the clip, but it's not. This is the legendary basketball shots. Now, they don't show you how many times they try it, but they do weird, bizarre shots. Like, this one is the ride where they take you all the way up and then you free fall.
I hate that ride.
Right. And they throw a basketball from the top. And it goes in. I mean, it's just a whole bunch of different ones.
Three, two, one, lift off.
Let's do it.
Yeah! So these are shots from hundreds of feet away. These are guys at the top of a Ferris wheel throwing a basketball, for instance.
And they must have done it 1,000 times. You can hear it in their celebration.
Because on that thing that drops you, even getting your hands down would be so hard to...
They have the restraints that come over your shoulders, and they have a basketball with them. They just throw it.
That's unbelievable.
And it goes in. It's ridiculous. Okay, here's the You Again catfight. This is Odette Usman, Betty White, Kristen Bell, Sigourney Weaver.
Odette and I were saying it. It's a waste of time how you won't stop talking.
Fine, I'll stop. That's good. See how well the movie does without its biggest star promoting it.
Biggest star? Don't worry. I'm not going anywhere.
Sigourney Weaver.
Nailed it!
Actually, we all know that Betty is the biggest star of the film.
Well, actually, if we're going to go by box office
totals. If you say Avatar...
If I say the word Avatar, Kristen, what? Avatar!
You might be a quarter of my age, but I will take you down.
See, because Betty White's old and she says funny things.
Yes, she does.
Like her.
It's a very, very funny video, though.
Between Two Ferns is one of our favorite. This is also on Funny or Die. Zach Galifianakis. This is his quote-unquote, I'm putting air quotes here, his brother, cousin. I don't know. It's Zach, but exactly.
His twin brother.
Yes. And he's interviewing Sean Penn. There's a long break in the middle of it, which is a natural. I mean, it's for real. We don't edit it.
Okay.
But it's super long, and you think nothing's happening because they're just kind of staring at each other. It's really bizarre.
I'll tell you something right now. I know you're playing with me.
No, I'm trying to be honest. I'm just trying to protect because I know.
And let me tell you something. This country boy right here is not really intimidating. Invasive. I'll follow you home tonight.
I'll knock you the f*** out right in your chair.
Real interested in the work you've been doing down in Haiti, and tell us a little bit about that.
Well, after
is there a Six Flags down there?
There's not, you know.
Okay, we can move on.
That Between Two Ferns, that whole series is so great. Zach Galifianakis is so funny. And Sean Penn is a stick in the mud, you got to give him credit for poking fun at himself in his seriousness in this video.
That was
very funny.
It's
very funny.
Let's move. Is there a Six Flags now? Let's move on.
Kevin and Bane, later net, Rambo.
Yeah. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is 8:55.
Tuesday that feels like a Monday on the Kevin and Bean Show. Bobby Slayton, the Pitbull of Comedy, next hour. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat right now.
I want to give you a heads up for Linkin Park fans. If you want to check out some of the new music from their forthcoming CD, 1,000 Suns.
No!
It's available right now at kevinandbean.com or krock.com. You can go to the website and listen to Waiting for the End, Wretches and Kings, and Catalyst. Three tunes, all from their new CD. That hits stores Tuesday, September the 14th. So you got to wait a week, or you can go right now to kevinandbean.com and hear those songs there, which is cool. There you go. There you go. A little bonus, a little extra music for your Kevin and Bean listenership. Congratulations to the Black Widow. She kicked ass this week. I don't know if you guys caught the news or not.
Hey.
But Sonya Thomas, a.k.a. the Black Widow, ate 181 chicken wings in 12 minutes at the 9th annual National Buffalo Wing Festival. It's her fourth consecutive chicken wing eating championship, Kevin. She beat Joey Chestnut.
Really?
Yes. She's a woman who can out-eat Joey Chestnut.
That's impressive.
No word on whether Kobayashi Maru was there or whatever that dude's name is, but that's a lot. 181 chicken wings in 12 minutes.
You don't see a lot of top shelf women in professional competitive eating circles, do you?
Not her top shelf. I'm worried about it. It's her bottom shelf.
You know what I'm saying? All those chicken wings going to make her ass fat. You know what I'm saying?
Send me on every level.
I'm sorry. One of the pitfalls of superstardom, well, I have to tell you guys, is the tell-all book that eventually follows about your life. Someone trying to cash in on knowing you at some point.
The one that Lisa is writing, where she furiously scribbles down everything we say in the studio. Yeah. Yes.
Well, there's one coming out about Lady Gaga. Apparently, the new biography details her life, her loves, her eating disorder. The book says she was hospitalized 6 times.
Mm. Wow.
Back in 2009 for an eating disorder that she has. Yo-yo dieting, they claim. Where she would starve herself so much she would have to be hospitalized.
Mm. Wow.
Also, her ex-tour manager says that Lady Gaga hounded his wife to come sleep next to her during lonely nights on the road.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now we're hitting somewhere.
And apparently she is a nut when it comes to dealing with her staff. This same said ex-tour manager claims she once fired 150 people in the span of an 18-month period on her staff.
Wow.
I'm sorry, 150 people during an 18-month period. So in a year, span of a year and a half, she went through 150 people on a staff.
Wow.
That's a lot.
It sounds like some interesting stories. Doesn't sound like anything that's going to hurt Lady Gaga. None of that sounds like the type of thing that's going to chip away at her success right now.
No, I agree.
Exactly, Mother Teresa.
Yeah.
Nobody's actually worried about her being sane. Right. Thing,
we've seen what she wears. We know she's crazy.
So that's not exactly a problem. You guys see that commercial where the Pepsi truck driver sit next to the Coke truck driver at the diner? And they say, why can't we be friends? Because like, hey, that's a good song. Yeah, that's a good song. Hey, can I try some of your Coke Zero? Hey, it's pretty tasty. Let me taste some of your Pepsi. Yeah. Oh, I'm filming it for YouTube. And then the fight breaks out and they go through the window. Yeah. Clever commercial, right?
Yeah.
Good use of that song. You would think someone with Pepsi would have said, should we get permission to use that song before we put it in the commercial?
That's not a given.
Should we get something in writing, perhaps? Should we pay someone something for the usage of this song?
Usually there's a lawyer in the food chain before it gets to TV who has to sign off on licensing.
There's a lawyer everywhere.
Yeah.
The song was a smash hit for the band War back in 1975.
Maybe they thought they were all dead.
Maybe Kevin works for Pepsi and they say, it's old, it doesn't matter, those people are meaningless.
No, even I would know you got to get permission to use it in a commercial.
Well, it turns out War is not dead, Kevin, and they are suing Pepsi for $10 million for use of that song.
Which makes you think that that's what they would expect to have been paid for the use of their song?
They're just ticked off.
Yeah.
So they want money, and they also want to punish them for not saying, are you guys still alive?
Yeah. They definitely deserve to be paid. There's no question about that.
About $10
million. That's crazy that Pepsi would make a mistake like that.
It is. That's madness.
That's why Coke is better.
No, stop. Take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Actress Evan Rachel Wood celebrates her 23rd birthday. Shannon Elizabeth from American Pie turns 37. Sugar Shane Mosley is 39. Tom Everett Scott celebrates his 40th birthday today. Drummer Chad Sexton of 311 is 40. Angie Everhart celebrates her 41st birthday. Our buddy Michael Emerson. Ben from Lost is 56 years old, as is actor Corbin Burnson from Psych. And Chrissy Hine of The Pretenders celebrates her 59th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
A big intro, or just what are we doing here?
Nope.
No big intro. Ladies and gentlemen, the pitbull of comedy, Bobby Slayton, joins us here on The Kevin Beach Show. Why doesn't Bobby get a big intro? He's earned one. He deserves one.
We
have him on too much.
Wait. I tried to get on 3 months ago, and you said I'd just been on 3 months before. It's been six months, by the way. And, you know, every time I come on, you guys are always talking about how fast I'm talking.
Right.
The last time I was on, my daughter actually taped it, and I've never heard myself on the Kevin Bean Show. I've seen myself on TV talking.
That must have been jarring.
But that was really fast. It was really
annoying, right?
Annoying, fast,
yeah.
Incomprehensible. I can't understand. And then I do these gigs, and I wonder why nobody showed up. And they go, we hear you on Kevin and Bean, but we couldn't hear what you're playing.
We have no idea what it is. And by the way, Bobby's another guy who never shuts the F up. Even if I try to tell you that he's at the Comedy and Magic Club Saturday and Sunday this weekend, Friday and Saturday.
Friday and Saturday.
10th and the 11th.
Yes.
He will probably interrupt and not allow me to get out the plug. That's what he usually does. Comedy and Magic Club in Hermosa Beach, Friday and Saturday night. Go to comedyandmagicclub.com. See the incomparable Bobby Slayton on stage. You do get more comedy per dollar with Bobby Slayton than anyone else because he can burn through the material that would take somebody else 10 hours to do.
Right.
He can do it in an hour and a half.
And not only that, but I'm getting older now, so when people watch me, I'm like Betty White. They go, how does he get away with that? He's old. How can he use those words?
You can say anything.
How can he do that? By the way, the last hour when I was saying what really scares you, the banana and the cotton balls together would frighten my wife. Separately, the banana and cotton balls, I don't think would be a problem.
It's a good
together,
image.
In the same room, my wife would scream in panic. By the way,
I don't blame
you know, when you were playing that little game, what scared scares you. Here's what really frightens me. Can I just? I know that was the last hour.
It was, right. But it
was
right.
Irrational fears.
Irrational fears.
You know, the trash truck. I heard the whole thing. I listen to you guys all the time, and I tape it. Okay, here's what really frightens me. Is that this weekend at the Comedy Magic Club there'll be no people. And I feel like I've got to be really funny now. You know, when I started doing this show 10, 20 years ago, Kevin and B is no big deal. But now you guys have a lot of celebrities. I think it's between the reality shows and all the comics and the movies, and you have so many big people. It's like intimidating.
People will come see you, Bobby, because you're funny. You built up some goodwill with the audience.
But let me tell you what happened to me about 3 weeks ago. I go on the Jimmy Fallon show. By the way, one of my heroes. I love Jimmy Fallon.
He's tremendous. What a great job he did on the Emmys, too, by the way.
Oh, my God. I was bored with him.
Really? I thought he was terrific.
Does he sing? I wasn't clear.
He didn't really bring out that skill. Didn't really use that. I love Jimmy.
Jimmy is not only great. Well, when he had Mick Jagger and Keith Richards on and interviewed them, you know, maybe it's kind of old school, but I said, I love this guy.
I watched that whole week with the Stones. It was really entertaining.
And you thought I was incomprehensible. He actually listened to Keith and answered, and they had a conversation for like 15 minutes. But anyway, I go on Fallon's show, and I think you can probably still YouTube, but it went great. And Jimmy actually said to me afterwards, you know, you're the best comic we've ever done. It was 5 minutes. It couldn't have been any better. And he plugs a gig that I'm doing, a new comedy club out in Staten Island, and it's called Uncle Vinny's, right? Well, you know this problem here. It's in an old restored Art Deco theater, so it's about 500 seats. And David Brenner and Dice Clay, somebody called me and said, you know, I just played there on a weekend.
Only old Jews are allowed to play there? What's the deal with that lineup?
Yeah, here's the thing. It's that, Dice tries to be Italian. But anyway, they said that they couldn't bring in more than 40 or 50 people. That's on a weekend. I'm playing there on a Thursday night. And Jimmy Fallon goes out of his way to give me a plug, says, you got to go see this guy. And I go play, and there's 11 people. 11 people.
That's not true.
Well, no, wait. Three people bought tickets after their man Fallon, so it was 14 people, and I had 14 guests because all my relatives live out there, so it was 28 people.
Did you even go on?
Yeah, I'm like, of course I'm going to go
on. I mean,
but why don't you just sit on the edge of the stage and bring them all up,
well,
right?
Well, I should have.
Just get a banquet table and just go sit at the table.
It was like Close Up Magic. Like, when the guys go and they do Close Up Magic. You know what I was going to do? If I knew there was only going to be that many people, I would have just said, come to my room and sit on the bed.
Yeah.
I would have cracked open the minibar, and we would have watched TV and during the commercial.
And had a nice party. Yes,
but exactly. Isn't that, that's on the new club not getting the word out, not having a built-in fan base.
It's also the end of the summer. Staten Island is all Hasidic Jews and retired mafia chiefs. So it's not the kind of people who go to comedy shows, especially on a Thursday night, but I still did my show, and it actually went great. But then after the show, I drive out
the 14 people really thought it was funny. That's how.
Then I drive to the Jersey Shore. And by the way, if you've never been to the Jersey Shore, and I'm sure you guys, Asbury Park, it's not like those snooky retards. It's really, it's really cool. And then there were 30 people at that show. But so that's my biggest fear. But that's when you...
Isn't this the universe telling you to hang it up, Bobby?
No,
isn't that what's going on?
Because when I do the Kevin and Bean show and the Comedy Magic Club, and I don't, with all due respect to Jay Leno, they told me that, Leno, and you do the Tonight Show, and it's great, but they said Kevin and Bean helps bring more people in.
All right, well, we'll find out if that's true. Comedy and Magic Club this weekend, Friday and Saturday night. Go to comedyandmagicclub.com. We've seen some of us have seen the show.
I've seen it. Yeah.
It's hilarious.
Yeah, the last thing we got for Vegas, you were in Vegas. I don't even want to get into that.
We were in Vegas, and all of us except for Bean went to his show.
You know why? Because I've got the internet in my room. Why do I need Bobby Slayton on stage? You know what I'm saying? Anyway, more with the Pitbull of Comedy right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Our friend Bobby Slayton, the Pitbull of Comedy, in our studio, appearing this weekend if you're in Southern California in Hermosa Beach at the Comedy and Magic Club. Great, great, great room Saturday and Friday. Friday and Saturday, September 10th and 11th. Go to comedymagicclub.com.
I think that's the start of Rosh Hashanah. You know, with Ramadan ending and Rosh Hashanah starting, it's a big week for me. It's always that whole Ramadan. By the way, and then you go to Macy's. You know, people go there for the Labor Day sale, but, for Ramadan, all the sheets and towels are half price. And then, good night, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, there's a lot of Muslims in California when Bed Bath & Beyond has a fitting room. It's like too much of it. It's enough already, I'll tell you, with the Muslims.
See, that one's free, ladies and gentlemen. That one's free. You pay to hear the rest of the hour.
Yeah,
I saw you on Tosh.0 the other night, by the way. You were part of the web redemption of the world's worst comedian. It was very funny.
You know, I never got to see it, but, they had this guy on. I guess he was kind of a little mentally incapacitated.
He was a lot of mentally.
Well, I didn't realize that when they had him on. So they asked a bunch of comedians. You know, Daniel called up. He wanted Ant, the gay comic. He wanted Andy Kindler. He wanted the black guy. Just different, aspects of the comedy community to kind of give this guy advice. And then we hadn't met the guy, and I hadn't seen the video of the guy. And Tosh says to me, he goes, the guy's kind of like a little, retarded. You know, and of course you can't use that word anymore. You know, it's now up there with the F word. And,
right. No,
it's,
and he didn't say that word. He said, like.
Yeah, but he was retarded.
Okay.
And, you know, nobody comes after me. They'll come after Jennifer Aniston for saying it because, you know, I'm nobody. But it's just a shame to me you can't use that word anymore.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, and it's the R word. And then, you know, it's even worse, though, when they take the N word or this word and they put the first letter, you know, like the newspaper. He called him a N dash dash dash. You know, what are we playing? Wheel of Fortune? I know what the word is.
Right. You know? You're not protecting my thoughts from hearing and seeing that word.
She was a real cash. No, cash is not the word we're looking for. You see? Okay, I get it. You know? So we had to try to give the guy advice about trying to become a stand-up comic. But what was even worse in doing that, the Daniel Tosh thing was fine because I could work with the retarded guy, but I worked with Demi Lovato on the show.
Oh, now, what's wrong with Demi Lovato? I like her.
Oh, on Disney's Sunny
She's
with a Chance.
With a Chance.
That's not creepy.
Well, I think it might be.
She's pretty
YouTube.
Hot. She's pretty hot. I can say that now that she's 18.
She's really hot, but I've never
worked with
her.
That's creepy.
By the way, I love Disney because after I did Sunny with a Chance, I got a call last week from Disney to see. They wanted to put me on hold for another Disney show this week, which I don't know if I'm doing it or not.
Hope it's the sweet life.
But 30 years of being the pit bull of comedy and nurturing this vicious, mean, angry, yid vicious kind of guy, and now I'm fun for the whole family. But
what'd you do on Sunny with a Chance?
I had to be Paulie the Polar Bear. I was a disgruntled kitty show host, and I was wearing a polar bear. Let me tell you this. I'm wearing a bear. It's not as funny as
I need to see this episode.
It's on. I think it's on YouTube. I think everything's on YouTube. But I had to be, you know, I was kind of sick of playing Paulie the Polar Bear, but I had to wear a polar bear costume during most of the show.
Right.
And Sunny with a Chance, the problem is if you've been to a soundstage in a studio, they keep it ice cold. They don't want the actors sweating. They don't want the makeup to melt. Well, anyway, it's all these teenage kids. Well, it's so cold in here. It's so cold. So Demi Lovato and a little crew has it cranked up to 100 degrees. And on top of that, I'm in a polar bear costume. So what happens is I'm drinking a ton of water and I got to take a leak every 20 minutes. It's like Freddy Krueger. I can't take a leak without an assistant because I got to take my paws off. They got to be unzipped. And on top of that, there's no zipper on the – well, the zipper's in the back, which is how I got the job. But that's a whole other story. Not right for the radio. So now I can't take a leak and we're trying to shoot the show and I'm allergic to the polar bear or whatever the synthetic hair is.
How long are you in the polar bear suit? Like a 12-hour day or something?
It was the worst week of my life.
Why didn't you quit show business at that point? Why didn't you go, this is it, I'm out?
Because I should have quit show business, but then I realized there were 12 people waiting for me in Staten Island after the Jimmy Fallon show.
That's right.
This is just getting better and better.
You don't let them down.
I love this so much.
Okay, but it gets worse or better. Okay, so here's the thing. If you watch the show, at the end of the show, I guess there's a school teacher on. I don't want to give the plot away. But this teacher's in love with me, and she teaches the kids, and she's got a little kitty called Mr. Whiskers, and she doesn't know if she really wants to go out with me unless I like Mr. Whiskers. So at the end of the show, she opens up the cage, and Mr. Whiskers jumps out of the cage into my face. Now, here's the thing. I'm not making this up. It's a real cat. It's a taxidermy cat. I'm allergic to cats. It's a real cat. And I guess to keep the cat, you know, in shape, they have a baseball in its head. I guess instead of a skull, there's a base so that, you know, so the head will look, it'll look real. It is real.
You are making this up.
It's a stuffed cat. So,
With a baseball in its head.
A baseball in its head so it doesn't, you know. So
lose its shape.
Thank you. Right. Exactly. So I don't know what's in the rest of the cat, but that was soft. But the head was a baseball.
So you're in a polar bear suit, and somebody's throwing a cat at you with a baseball in his head, and you're allergic to cats.
Not only throwing it, but I don't want to give away the special effects.
Give it away.
It's on a wire. And they said, in post-production, we'll erase the wire. So until then, it's on fishing lure or something. And they're taking the cat, and they're pulling it out of the cage, and it hits me in the head. And really, really, really hard. I had a bump on my head. It hit me really hard. And I said, you guys, you can't really pull the cat out that fast because you hit me in the head. So every time we rehearsed a scene, the director would say to me, look, you know, you look like you're anticipating the cat hitting you in the head, and you can't do that. I go, well, I am anticipating it hitting me in the head because three times you hit me in the head with the goddamn cat, and it really, really hurt.
By the way, you expect them to take you seriously as you're standing there in a polar bear suit.
Well, no, for that scene, I was out of the polar bear suit. I was sitting in a fuzzy, it was in a bar, but not a bar because it's Disney.
Right.
It was in a plush bar with all these
other
cats. Is
this some kind of acid trip? There's no way this all actually happened.
And Demi Lovato never knew her lines, and she's sitting out. Look, and I hope Disney uses me again. I love working for Disney, but she was a monster, and I didn't like working with her.
Oh, really? Don't tell me that.
Oh, yeah. Shut up.
Really?
I didn't like working with her. It wasn't fun. And then, you know.
She didn't make it easy for you in the polar bear costume?
Oh, my God. I can
tell you cat with a baseball?
Was that the low point of your all-time career? That was it. That's as bad as it gets.
Yeah, and then you say to me, how can you play in front of 12 people in a theater? Because I go, you know what? The lights are off. And those 12 people laughed a lot, and it's what I do. I do stand-up comedy, and it reminded me of the old days. And if you can, you know, if you can do it in front of 12 people, you know, 10,000 people doesn't matter. You know, I've played concerts and giant festivals, but 12 people is not easy.
But isn't it a lot more scary?
It's
because if they don't laugh, then you know, it's noticeable.
You know what I feel like? I pretend I'm on the Kevin and Bean show, and I look over, there's one woman, and I go, that's the news broad. That tall, goofy guy, that'll be Bean. And the guy laughing will be Kev. And, you know, I kind of make a little scenario. It's like a radio show.
Right? Well, I hope more than 12 people show up at the Comedy Magic Club this weekend, Friday and Saturday. I think they will, too. I think you're going to be fine, Bobby. And I bet you have more to say about Demi Lovato that you're saving for the show. I have this feeling that we didn't hear the whole story, to tell you the truth.
I have so many stories.
Go to comedyandmagicclub.com. The shows are this weekend, Friday and Saturday. Don't miss Bobby Slayton, the Pitbull of comedy. Bobby, thanks for coming in, man.
Thanks, guys. And next time I come back, I'll bring you a record for your collection.
All fantastic. Right. Party people, thanks for tuning in to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Tuesday. Ralph Garman is here. Our final look at the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, man?
Well, we usually do this on Mondays, but since we had off yesterday, let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the long holiday weekend. Labor Day weekend, notoriously a slow weekend at the box office, and seems like that's the case yet again. The American was number one, the new George Clooney movie, although it did so just making $16.4 million.
Kevin?
Big amount.
It was good. It was kind of slow. Slower than my type of movie, but it was really well done.
I'd like to be more bang and explosion.
There's a lot of him walking.
What did you do, George Clooney?
If you take the footage of him just walking around Italy out, you've got a 20-minute movie.
Kevin, by the way, sees the number one movie virtually every weekend. Yes. Doesn't matter if it's Last Exorcism or The American.
I'm very busy. I have no time. I have
it was
no
3 days.
Time.
It's pretty impressive, though, how many movies you're able to see.
And I saw Machete.
Wow.
Machete.
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 Wasn't that great?
Yes.
Isn't Jessica Alba a horrible actress?
She's not good.
But she's just as good as the rest of the movie is bad.
But she was in the shower, perfect. And I was like, okay, let's...
Yeah, that shower scene's pretty strong.
Let's explore this. And then they cut right away.
Arm
I know.
And everything. BS.
I'm saying let's wait.
I say get the gyno cam out. Let's just cut to the chase, shall we?
I'm just saying let's linger. Let's not move away from that so quickly.
What's your rush?
What's the rush?
Machete, don't text. Machete. Machete, don't text.
Machete.
This is Machete.
Oh, Machete.
Machete.
That made $14 million, good enough to make it number two at the box office. Takers was third, then The Last Exorcism. Going the Distance came in at number five. Drew Barrymore, Justin Long.
Yawn.
The Expendables was sixth, The Other Guys seven, Eat, Pray, Love, Inception, and Nanny McPhee Returns. Rolling out your top 10 at the box office.
Speaking of Machete, don't text, I went to the movies with Dave the King of Mexico yesterday. We went to see Piranha 3D. Lisa May was there, too.
Machete.
Dave could not wait until the final frame of that movie so he could whip out his phone and start texting like a madman.
I'm sure.
He's going crazy. He's just bubbling
It's worse than, it's worse than a smoker.
Maybe he forgot to tweet, I'm in the movie, yeah, before the movie started.
He was so fidgety.
I couldn't move. I turned around. He was already
All my friends really are going to want to know
People
where I am.
People may not know he's in the movies if he doesn't tweet it.
Was it less than 5 seconds from when the credits came up? Absolutely. I mean, it was crazy.
Oh, popcorn kernels in my teeth. Tweet.
I don't get Dave.
God damn him.
Stone Temple Pilots frontman Scott Weiland has announced he is going to release a Christmas album this year.
Because when you think Scott Weiland...
I think syringes.
You think Christmas.
Oh, no, I think Christmas. Right. That's right, yes. He had such success with Have Yourself a Merry Little Christmas last year that apparently he's decided to go for an entire CD of Christmas favorites, including a reggae version of Little Drummer Boy and other... ill-conceived Christmas classics.
He recorded a version of the Peanuts song Christmas Time Is Here for a Kevin and Bean Christmas album a few years ago.
Well, that sounds bad, too.
And he seemed to really enjoy it.
I don't listen to the Kevin and Bean show. I'm not familiar with your work or your albums, but apparently that was a bad idea.
All right, Bean. I'll tell you what we can do with the Christmas tree. To leave all the ornaments on it, leave all the lights on it, and shove it up your ass!
Yeah! That's what I'm talking about. I appreciate Christmas music all the times of the year.
Here's the update. Still has his Christmas tree up.
Mm-hmm. Well, fully it's up decorated. Early for this year. Come on.
What color is it, though?
It is. It's pink.
I'm sorry now. Want to come again now? Excuse me?
What color is it?
My Christmas tree? We're not here to talk about that. It's September.
Does it match the outside of your house?
That's why you're supposed to have it up, because it's September.
It's pink.
Damn, is it Christmas already that we need sweaters and it's wintertime? So anyways.
What color is your house?
It's also pink.
Oh, my God.
You're a mess.
Do you think the world would be a better place, you guys, if we had Christmas every day?
What do you think?
No.
Man, take your tree down, Bean. Our buddy McGee's working on a new TV series.
All right.
For ABC. It is a Private Eye show. And I miss the old Private Eye shows. Not enough Private Eye shows on anymore. I love the Private Eyes.
Certainly not a word they use anymore.
It's called IPI.
That'll change, though, right?
Really? Nope.
That's a temporary title, placeholder.
Right? Variety says the series is about a private investigator who learned everything that he knows about private investigation from watching shows like Magnum P.I. And Simon and the Rockford Files and all the P.I. TV shows.
That might be funny.
So all he does is regurgitate with stuff he's seen previously on television, which has very little to do with actual private investigation, by the way.
Yeah, you can solve any crime in 45 minutes on
That's
TV.
That's what he learned, yes. I think he may be sorely disappointed.
Who's starring? Do we know?
It is, apparently, it's just underway.
That sounds interesting.
So it has not been cast yet. Daily Variety says you just got to deal with ABC to develop the series. So it's fresh. It's brand new. We'll have to wait and see what happens.
Right.
Anyone interested?
Yeah.
Actually.
Anyone like to see another Bill and Ted movie?
Yes and yes.
So soon?
Alex Winter, who played, of course, Bill in both the Bill and Ted Excellent Adventure and Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, says he is working on a third film in the season. Yeah, I bet you are. Well, Keanu's off making 20 mil doing whatever he's doing. I bet you're hard at work in a third movie in the series, Alex.
I bet you're very interested in the new one.
He says Keanu Reeves has shown some interest in reprising his role with him.
That means he's taken Alex Winter's call once.
Yeah. So apparently they're going to meet with the original writers as well and try to see if they can come up with a third adventure for the wacky duo.
It's been a long time since we've seen those movies. Wasn't the late, great George Carlin an integral part of those movies?
He was. He was their guide through history. But he was not anymore.
He's not going to be available.
No, he is not. And thank God, Crocodile Dundee star Paul Hogan has reached an agreement with the Australian tax authorities, which will allow him to leave that country and return home to his house here in the States.
Right, brother.
No, it's not Hulk Hogan. Paul Hogan is a Crocodile different. Dundee. It's very different.
Put that in the file.
Yeah.
Paul's been living here in Los Angeles with his wife, Linda Kozlowski, who was his co-star in those films, for a long, long time. But he went back to his mother's funeral in Sydney, Australia last month. And the Australian said, yeah, you owe us $33 million in back taxes.
Oh, my God. How is he making enough to owe $33
million? You don't get to leave the country until you pay that debt.
Wow. Wait, we're talking about Paul Hogan?
Yeah.
He owes $33 million?
That's what the Australians claim.
I agree with Bean. How could he possibly have that much income?
Well, that's what Paul's saying.
He said, interest and penalties. Interest.
Listen, I couldn't pay 10% of what they're asking. I don't have and never had the money people think I have. So apparently he worked out some sort of deal.
It was like $5,000 plus interest.
Yeah,
exactly. Equals $33 million.
With the Australian Taxation Office and apparently, they claim he was squirreling away money in offshore tax havens, making royalties off the film and its two sequels. And apparently, he owes them, but he's worked out some sort of deal, so they're going to let him. They're going to let him out now.
Hmm.
It's funny because usually the prisoners were sent to Australia. Now one is being sent away. Finally,
true.
One's making their escape. That's not a tax bill. This is a tax bill. Crocodile Dundee humor.
What year was that movie?
1958.
All right.
Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Evan Rachel Wood is 23 years old.
Oh.
So hot. Across the Universe. She's so good in that movie.
She is hot. Shannon Elizabeth from American Pie, also hot. 37 years old today. Sugar Shane Mosley turns 39. It's Chad Sexton of 311 is 40 years old today. Tom Everett Scott is also 40. Angie Everhart celebrates her 41st birthday. Wasn't she dating Joe Pesci for the longest time, Angie Everhart?
Mm-hmm.
There's a mixed bag. Michael Emerson of Lost is 56 years old. Corbin Burnson from Psych is 56. And Chrissy Hynde of The Pretenders. Oh, come on, Chrissy. She is 59 years old today. Hey, if you want to know what's new, it is Tuesday. New releases and CDs and DVDs. Here's your heads up. Anne Berlin has a new CD. Dark is the Way, Light is a Place. It's called?
That's the temporary placeholder.
No, that's the name on the CD.
Huh.
Interpol's got a new CD. It's self-titled. Kaleidoscope Heart. It's also out today. Audio Secrecy by Stone Sour. On DVD, MacGruber, in case you missed it in theaters, which apparently a lot of you did. MacGruber! No one went to see my movie, MacGruber! It's available on DVD. Killers with Katherine Heigl and Ashton Kutcher.
Oh!
It's a banner day on DVD. Isn't
yes, it is.
And finally, Camp Rock 2, the final jam with the Jonases and Demi Lovato, all available for your
enjoyment. Pre-ordered that, didn't you?
I just watched it Friday night. It just world premiered Friday night. I still have it on my TiVo. I don't need to buy the DVD.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Wow, indeed. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning, an all-new program. We have an instant request for you. Who's going to be a judge on American Idol? Might it be comedian Jeffrey Ross?
Great choice.
Might that be the case?
Love him. I haven't heard that rumor.
We're going to talk to him tomorrow. I think he's trying to lobby for it.
Oh. So it's not so much a rumor as it is a desperate plea?
Yes. Exactly. That would be more accurate. Yes. And also, funny ways you found out that your partner was cheating. Has to be funny, though.
Funny ways.
The Chilean miners, is that the story that it came from?
Right.
Where the wife showed up, and then there was the girlfriend out there with the sign, and then she said, hey, that's my, and she said, no, wait a minute, that's my, and then they had a big fight, so that's good times. So that's tomorrow morning, along with your chance to see Muse in a sound check on tomorrow morning's Kevin and Bean Show.
Don't go away. Cat Corbett's up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music, including the band Jet, also The Offspring, Temper Tramp, Smashing Pumpkins, new one from Bad Religion, Pennywise, and more. Straight ahead right after this on good old K-Rock.